is the Starship Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Live at the UC United Center here for the Blackhawks, which we love to be here for.
Being brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. And tonight, it's the Hawks, it's the Rangers, it is an original six matchup. You love to see this laundry on the ice.
It's going to be a fun night. The Blackhawks are just playing very well to start the season. And Jonathan Toews off to a hot start. Corey Crawford now has a few starts under his belt. So, you know, there's some anxiousness from fans in the offseason after missing the postseason. And they're doing exactly what they needed to do, which was get off to a hot start.
Yeah, well, the one of the problems that they've got in the Central Division is that everybody's hot
in the Central Division. Right, they have 12 points and they're in fourth in the Central. So,
right.
But they're keeping pace. Predators, Avalanche, Jets ahead of the Blackhawks. Wild are right there, but this is what you expect from the Blackhawks. You expect them to be in the thick of things. So, Alex DeBrincat's been fun. The little guy got into a fight the other night. You guys see that Tuesday night? The guy had about 8 inches and 50 pounds on him, and he wasn't backing down. So, some feistiness from the cat.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. I mean, literally, we can pick him up and carry him under our arms. He and Violetta look like they're on the top of a wedding cake together.
Little cake munchkins.
Toppers. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, maybe we can
He's fun size.
Yes. Maybe we can get the two of them on the top of a wedding
Just
cake,
like,
maybe.
There
How
you
is
go.
He? Ooh.
You could be a nice girl, and, you know, he could be a
you
Black
never know.
Star.
It's kind of like a cheerleader, quarterback type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You might be a little old for him, which is the first time I've ever said that about her.
He might be a little young for me.
Yeah, what is he? He's 20, right?
20.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, never. Yeah.
So. You couldn't even take him out for a drink.
Oh, my gosh.
You couldn't even offer him a beer at Little Bucharest.
Kitty
cocktails and cabbage rolls, that's it.
Yep, exactly. Oh, that wouldn't stop Bronco from trying to pour gasoline down his throat.
He does that. It's holy
that's
water.
Okay.
It's holy water.
That's what he says.
He doesn't ask for ID before that either, so
right.
It doesn't matter.
Coming up.
It's a 21 and over kind of place.
Right. They ask ID outside. That's right. Yeah, that's how that goes. Hey, let me just tell you that Ben Bradley's going to be on the program. There was a very this interesting story that's going on here, too, about a car crash that ends up being very political down in the southern suburbs. Some very interesting things happened after an auto accident, and WGN-TV Investigates is looking into it. It's a really, you know, it's your standard Chicago story.
We live in some crazy times.
Yeah, well, we live, I mean, this is the oldest story ever told in Cook County. It's basically since when Jean-Baptiste Pointe de Sable arrived at the mouth of the Chicago River and met the Indians, he palmed each of them a 20.
Okay.
Is how that works.
All right.
To get a better table. That is how it works in this town.
DuSable had a guy.
Yeah.
Happened to be a Native American.
Right, and then DuSable became the guy.
Right, he's the guy.
Everybody was like, oh, we got to be here. Hey, I got a guy up in, I don't know how you pronounce this, nice, up there somewhere. Go to Starve Rock and turn right, there's a guy up there. Go see him.
Hey, grease your way to the top.
Yeah, I got a guy.
That's how DeSable talked?
No, that's how the
the guy who sent DeSable.
That's sent
the guy.
DeSable.
The guy.
And then
okay.
when you got here,
the guy.
DeSable, after he gave up his French Canadian or something, right? Wasn't he? Yeah.
He had to lose that accent.
Yeah. Then it was. Then next thing you know, I was like, hey, how you doing? Who sent you?
Let's go get a beer.
Yeah.
And
no
a
more,
Polish.
No more bonjour.
Talk DeSable.
So that's how that went. That's how that goes. You like my court? This buying your court. You like my court? I'm gonna make this my court. It's real nice. All right, so my point
is... Fascinating story, right?
My point is that things have not changed. That is what I am trying to tell you, that this, in this town, that kind of... this what Ben's going to tell you coming up in a few minutes is an old saw.
An old saw, but something that they detected. So I imagine they will impact some sort of change out there.
And then we've also got... we'll be checking in with a former special agent of the FBI about the investigation as it's going forward here and what they're looking for and what do they may already have. That's going to be that's getting kind of interesting.
As more of these packages have been detected, Joe Biden and Robert De Niro, the latest for it to see, have addressed these packages to both of them, three of them.
And there's a lot of confusion as to what actually is in this. The story keeps changing. We've seen the picture. And we've seen some of the... We've seen the picture of the exterior package from CNN,
right.
And we have also seen a picture and x-rays of at least one of the devices. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell. It looks like it's two different ones that we've seen. Mm-hmm. So it's unclear if all of these are exactly the same or some of them were, you know, if all of them or any of them worked. That's another question.
It is.
Which is great so far that none have exploded. But there was, right. at least in the one at CNN, it did have explosive characteristics. Mm-hmm. But the question is, did it have a fuse? Or is it just a handling issue?
Right. Authorities say that it does appear they're all linked, but they're not getting into motives at this time, just that they're be on guard because there could be more out there. I mean, you're talking about the one for De Niro sat in the mailroom since Tuesday, was just detected.
Well,
it's
possible. When the guy saw it on TV.
Isn't
the guy from the mailroom saw the picture of the one at CNN and said, oh, my God, we got one that looks just like that. I mean, think about that for a second.
Good for him. He was sitting there for that long.
Right. I mean, that's
an alert guy.
Yeah. Well, since Tuesday, I mean, they were all getting detected on Tuesday. The Soros one was detected on Tuesday and Wednesday, but he saw it was hours later. It had been sitting there. It had arrived in the morning, and then the guy was watching TV, who would be responsible for this stuff, moving the because it's that building houses De Niro's restaurants and his production company.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever the mail was going, he looked at it and goes, uh-oh, and then he called the police. And then they were able to determine today that they made the announcement. I think they're also being very careful, would be my guess. And again, when we talked to the Steve Gomez, formerly the FBI, about this, I think a lot of what goes on here is you want to be very careful, if you're law enforcement, about what information you're letting out, because the bomber clearly knows who he sent stuff to.
Right.
And, you know, maybe if there are certain things that they let known publicly or they don't let known publicly changes how this guy behaves.
Right.
Or people behave, you know, mm-hmm. as a person or people.
They have special interest on Florida, they said today, because there seems to be a connectivity to several of the packages to Florida, other than the fact that many of them had the return address of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, congresswoman and former head of the DNC.
Right.
So they're turning their attention to that state is really what we learned in the news conference just moments ago.
Right. And Mark McKinnon's going to join us also coming up this hour from the circus and how they're going to have to change that show for Sunday based on everything that has happened here. Or do they? We'll find out about that. Mm-hmm. And then it's all Blackhawks after that. After we get into the 4 o'clock hours, Chef Mike is going to be here. Also, Anna Burrish is going to be here. Chris Bowden is going to be here. He's agreed to come back after News or Ruse.
Good.
Boats. Sorry, Boats.
Bodie.
Boaters.
Oh. He lost, didn't he?
I think
Boats.
I think me.
Did he get any right? You did beat him, I think.
I beat him pretty good. Uh-huh. I think I was on a streak that day.
Just remind him of that when he gets back here.
He could have used a butterfly saver, too.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's check in with Ben Bradley right after we do this first. Our live broadcasting at Center right before the pregame show for the Chicago Blackhawks brought to you by Citgo. Fill up at your locally owned station today.
And it's Oktoberfest night here at the United Center. We all got our mugs, our beer steins, and our German Alpine hats, too, which mm-hmm. is pretty cool.
Love a good beer stein.
And they're childproof, too, so the kids can use them. They made them really plastic.
Put apple juice in there for us.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a little sippy cup.
Juice,
yeah.
Pour your juice box in there, and you're good to go.
Ben Bradley, is that how you started your career with your parents giving
you? I will say, nobody looks better in lederhosen than Roe.
That's true.
Have we seen you?
And we have actually seen him
last year.
Yeah, we were in Lederhosen. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right. Of course.
Easy to find on the internet.
The image has burned my corneas.
Yes. Yeah, mine as well.
But
yeah.
If you really looked hard, Kevin Powell getting a spanking would probably be the highlight of that event.
Yeah, they do like a whole spanking thing there, Ben. She bent me over a chair and took a paddle right to the rear end.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I told you guys about that before we went, and nobody believed me.
It was fun.
Yeah, come out next time.
The whole time she was saying, Eastern European tradition, deal with it.
It's not even supposed to be for fun.
She was like, suck it up, wimp. Where
right.
I was whimpering.
That's,
a,
that's in America. Things are going so well in America. We do that as a side thing, just to make ourselves feel bad. Oh, spank me, because I feel so guilty about being so wealthy.
Self-imposed mm-hmm. punishment.
Yeah. All right.
How did we get here?
Ben, we were just earlier talking about your story. This is the WGN-TV Investigates, which is a really interesting story about this car accident that might have gone completely political. And we decided that we were going to make this into a complete Chicago moment, because it all started with Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Sable when he arrived here. He got a guy, he found the guy in the Potawatomi or whoever were here, and he was like, hey, I'm going to find this guy, gave him, palmed the guy at 20, and it was, and it's the way Chicago operates. Ever since that very moment, it was the original sin, and now you've got it in this car accident. Explain the story.
So this was a relatively routine car accident that the morning news covered, all the stations really covered it, about a month ago, because it was a minivan that had crashed into the Harvey Fire Station. At the time, our reporter Marcella Raymond had asked the Harvey Village spokesperson. She had heard that maybe there was somebody connected in the car, and perhaps a relative of the mayor, and the spokesperson said, nope, 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 nope. Nobody in there, just a, you know, just a car crash.
Nothing to see here. Yeah.
Into the fire station. So we filed the Freedom of Information Act request and got back the police reports and other documentation on this crash. And sure enough, the driver's last name, Kellogg. For those of you who have been around a while, Eric Kellogg is the long-serving mayor of Harvey. And it was his nephew, Ramel Kellogg, who was driving that car. It got even more interesting as we started looking at how the case was handled. Officers noted in their report that the only response from Mr. Kellogg, Ramel Kellogg, after he had crashed through a brick wall, was he had gotten out of the car and was laughing loudly every time an officer would ask him, you know, his name or stuff like that. He would just laugh, at which point police reports say they put him in an ambulance and sent him off to the hospital. No mention in the police report of doing a field sobriety test. No mention of blood alcohol work requested at the hospital. And in fact, while he was charged with a misdemeanor DUI, in the police reports, it looks like the Harvey officers didn't note alcohol as a potential contributor to the crash. So we had a DUI attorney look it over, and he just laughed and said, oh, man, if I had a client come to me and this was the evidence against him, I'd tell him he's getting off no problem.
Okay, so in this particular incident, there was a DUI, misdemeanor DUI.
A misdemeanor DUI. The other interesting thing was
this should be a felony DUI because there's property damage, right?
Well, wait till you hear the backstory. The mayor's nephew was also wanted on several warrants for his arrest, including a previous DUI. In fact, he had been charged with DUI two other times before this. He was driving on a suspended license. So there are questions about how this was handled. Harvey police say they handle it how they would regardless of the driver's last name. But others are saying, this was, if you know how to read a police report, you know how officers can use their discretion, this guy likely got a break.
All right, Ben, we'll look for that tonight. WGN-TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, and 12. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Ben Bradley, WGN-TV Newsroom. Broadcast for the Hawks take on the Rangers tonight, brought to you by Gen Power, your single source for renting portable power generators. Visit genpowerrents.com. And we are here live at the United Center as we await the crowd to enter in before this original six matchup. And now Mark McKinnon joins us. Mm-hmm. He is one of those dudes from the it's Two and a Half Men, is basically, except it's a woman, actually, now. Oh. And she's great.
Alice
Wagner is amazing, I think, on that show. And this is the show that recaps what I'm not quite sure. Sometimes Highland, he scares me sometimes. I don't know exactly. No, when I notice when he's
all the time.
Here's the one thing I've noticed for sure.
Uh-huh.
When he is interviewing somebody, he does a thing where he sort of juts his jaw out and then looks down.
Oh, yeah.
Past his, through the bottom of his glasses.
No, exactly
and
what you
sort
mean.
Sort of almost like I'm judging you just on everything that you're doing, the way you're breathing,
right.
It's so intimidating.
Careful what you say.
Yes, that's exactly what
he points right before he's about to strike. That's the look you get right before you get eaten.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
It. That's
shark.
It. It's right. It's like a it's a coil for a snake, and it really is something. You do get some interesting answers. I guess the question we have for you for this week: how much of now this attempted terror attacks or whatever it happens to be here, however it breaks out, how much of that is going to change what you guys are doing?
Well, as usual, it's breaking up our best laid plans because, you know, just we can never fully plan our weeks because so much happens so quickly, and this is a week's a good example of that. But we have tried to get away from Washington the last couple of weeks to really focus on the midterms, and this week, you know, last week we're doing the Senate races in the West. This week we're doing important governor's races in the South. So we're in Florida and Georgia this week. But we're certainly, you know, we're banking into that news as well, obviously, because it's very important and it's dominating the news landscape.
What do you think we should make of this? What as voters are trying to decide, and voting obviously is very emotional here, how do you think it impacts people's desire to go out to vote one way or the other, just maybe to stay home?
Oh, I think if anything, it just I think people are on the edge of their seats anyway, and then now this gets them out of their seats. You know, no matter where you are on the political dial, I think it creates more anxiety, and when there's anxiety, people want to do something about it. So I think if anything, I don't think it's going to have a suppressing effect. I think both the bases are pretty motivated right now.
How do you think the president and the White House has handled this situation, the crisis with these packages being sent to largely people critical of the president? He spoke at a rally last night in Wisconsin. He's spoken out since. He's been tweeting about it. How would you characterize how he's doing with the messaging?
I'd say some mini steps that are in the right direction. I think there should be more. I think it's an opportunity to really project a needed unifying message. So I like I said, it's the right direction, but I hope there'll be more. And I think it's a real opportunity to do what presidents are supposed to do in a time like this, which is, you know, provide a cloak of safety and comfort.
Yeah, and the president kind of got there yesterday afternoon. Then he goes out to his rally last night. And it wasn't a unifying thing. It was the press got to stop criticizing me and this will go away is what I took away from it. Now, you know, perhaps I'm too shorthanded about it, but that's kind of that was my take, is that this is the press is whipping all this up with all this fake news. And if they just didn't do that, they're calling me a Nazi and all the other stuff. If they just would stop doing that, we wouldn't have this problem.
Well, the reverse of that, of course, is that if there's not the sort of toxic environment that he's helped create, it wouldn't be happening. So, I mean, I'm very careful to say there's not a direct causal relationship here, but I think that there's blame to go around just in terms of the kind of environment that we're living in.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, that's kind of the sense I'm getting as I'm... As I sit around and I do a lot of meditation in the morning now.
Really?
Dr. Order.
Bro.
Yeah.
I think about that and I think about you.
Yeah, exactly. and the meditation lasts exactly 12 and a half seconds every morning.
I thought so.
But in that 12 and a half seconds, I have 1 million thoughts. And among those thoughts are this, is that, you know, if Donald Trump, you know, weren't elected, we would have invented him. You know, I think he is as much, you know, America was looking for a figure like this. The American media was looking for a figure like this because, you know, he's just made for television.
We did invent him.
Right. We did. He's a perfect hero and perfect villain all at the same time, depending on your stripe. And that's how he knows how to play that. He's, you know, it's like, this is not as much of an accident as we think, because we're seeing it all over the world. Right. And we can only blame social media and the Russians and the Chinese and everybody else is trying to, the Iranians, it turns out now, who are, you know, trying to get into our social media bloodstream and trying to intoxicate us. But we're susceptible to it because we're accepting it.
Yeah, we created the environment. We created the culture. You just stepped into it.
Yeah. So it is really...
Tom Wolfe wasn't around to watch this.
Oh, I know.
Out of one of his novels, A Man in Full.
Yeah, he really... And it really is very... I mean, actually, Tom Wolfe wrote about... people should go read A Man in Full. It was written 20 years ago. But it is... It presages a lot of what we're seeing here about how, you know, corporate America, good guys, bad guys, you know, people on the take, people doing the right thing and the wrong thing. And it really is... I think if that's where it's all going to end up. Hey, can I ask you just to look ahead here for a second? Are you guys going to be on the air the week after the election, I'm assuming?
Yeah, we will. Our last episode of this fall run will be the Sunday after the election.
And it, My guess is...
We'll wrap everything up then.
Are you preparing for a raft of change on that Wednesday and Thursday?
Yeah, we've literally been having that discussion. It's like, we're going to end the season three, but then I guess we have to start season four a week later when the Mueller investigation does its report and the Democrats take over.
Right. I mean, isn't that... do you still think the Democrats are going to take over the House?
You know, I think there may be somewhat of a blue tie, but there's a strong red undertow right now. So I think there's a very real possibility Republicans could keep both.
That could be the worst news ever for Donald Trump, in some respects.
Yeah,
within these 2 years, if the economy gets a little shaky, which it's sort of an inevitability,
right? Nobody to blame.
Right,
you can't be the victim anymore.
Yeah, so that'll be it's interesting because the minute the Democrats win anything, they will. Yeah. I mean, listen, they're not in control of anything; it's blaming them for everything. So it's a crazy thing. All right, well, we'll let you go. I know you got a ton of things here as you guys are crashing to try to get the show together for this week, and I just can't imagine. I mean, this is a surreal bit of information here. If somebody does actually get taken into custody on this, there's going to be such an intense rush to psychoanalyze this individual or these
people,
whatever it is, to try to figure out where this all fits in. Because I think voters especially voters who are not quite sure what they want to do, are very anxious, as you point out.
Yeah, for sure will be. So tune in Sunday night. We'll see where we are.
All right. Thank you very
much.
Mark McKinnon, the circus. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Kick it.
All right, bye.
You too. Kick it hard. He didn't say that, so I want to make sure I said that.
Kick it harder.
He seemed to be rushing off, so I wanted to, represent for him.
Yes, I understand.
Such a great line.
The funny thing is, here's a guy that when he walks in, you know who it is because he's wearing a hat and he's wearing a lady's scarf all at the same time.
He's got such a great look. I mean, you'll see an entire press corps and somehow Mark is the one you're looking at in the middle of the entire room of 100 press people.
Cowboy boots, jeans.
Tight jeans.
A bit of a blouse, and then a scarf, and then the cowboy hat. Or it's not even a cowboy hat. Sometimes it's like a Willie Nelson hat. Sometimes I love him. I think he's...
I do, too. He's got an easy smile, too, in a way about him.
Yeah. He has seen it all, and he's still calm about it.
How is he not more hardened than he is? That's what I always think. He's got a good way of sort of keeping himself sane amidst this circus that he's involved in.
Right. He also cares about the world, which so rarely do we see that in people who are on television or radio.
Or politics.
Or politics. Right, exactly.
Alpana Singh is back with Check Please, and she joins the Steve Cochran Show to talk about her return to the hosting chair. Love Alpana Singh.
I was at her place in Evanston on Saturday. She's got a new place.
Quite the restaurateur.
Yeah. And it was quite, and she was sitting at the bar.
And then that's just her, right?
Yeah.
Super chill.
Yeah.
Hang out.
Totally super chill. Sitting at the bar waiting to, waiting for everybody to leave so she can count the money. I think isn't that how that goes in the restaurant business?
Kind
of.
Here.
Yeah.
And probably having some wine. She's a wine expert.
Yes, she was. And she has her own list there. It's quite good. I would tell you the name of it if I could remember it at this particular moment. But it's quite great.
I'm sure she'll talk about it on Steve Cochran's show tomorrow.
I think she'll mention it.
Right. If she wants to mention the name of the restaurant, she'll come on our show. And then we can figure that out.
You're invited. We love you.
That whole thing. Today's broadcast before the Blackhawks take on the Rangers brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. And we are preparing ourselves dutifully here. Kevin has been running around the United Center. He does laps. Do you ever see that when you walk in here? There are some of the employees here who use this as an indoor track.
Get your steps in. It's like walking the mall. You know, people who do the mall walkers, you can get some good laps in here.
That's what I'm doing. I'm mall walking through here.
Well, it's okay before the people come and you're not in anyone's way, but when the crowds start pouring in, you better hustle.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to watch. We've always said this for the years we've been doing this. Mm-hmm. It's fun to watch this place light up and become the United Center that we're all used to. And it's sort of like it's in stages.
Right. Yeah.
It's really dark when we get here. And then right as we're going on, the initial set of lights go on inside the place and all the people start to arrive. And
The metal cart with the big wonky wheel drives around while we're on the air.
The big popcorn bags.
I know we're getting close to face off when the bar here kind of comes to life because it's getting close to the doors open. happening. And this bar right next to us here at the Goose Island Pub, somebody walks over there.
The dumping of the ice. It's always
a keg completely bounces all around the United Center. It falls off like a little rolling cart and just bounces.
Oh, it's fine.
All around the United Center.
Right. And there's at least one handle in this entire stadium that has foamy beer all night long, because we watched that thing rolling down the concourse at some point.
It's like, where's that going?
Yeah.
Don't go there.
It's going to be packed tonight. It's going to be a fun night. Original six matchup. Rangers off to a really slow start. They're kind of entering a rebuild type mode season. So a really good shot for the Blackhawks to win. Of course, Joe Quenneville saying in morning skate, you can't take them lightly. We saw them lose to Arizona a week ago. That felt like a sure win, but they're playing well, and it's fun. Sometimes the early part of a hockey season kind of gets lost in the shuffle with football in full swing, but I think everybody is dialed in with this Hawks season
right
really
now. Really
want to see. It's so fun to see them back to playing the way we were so used to seeing them play for a decade, really, and then last year was just you're scratching your head the whole season. So to see them playing well, Jonathan Toews fired up. You could tell, you know, leading up to the season, he was talking about how he was more focused, how they were hungry, and all those sorts of things. But you could just tell it was a little different with the captain. And he's backing it up, third on the team in points right now. So,
speaking of morning skate, did you see one of my favorite sports stories, not just hockey stories, but favorite sports stories of all time? Scott Foster was on the ice today, the accountant by day guy, who's the emergency backup goalie.
That's right.
They're going to kind of keep him around for a little bit, apparently. Coach
Q
says keep him practicing.
I love it. I've offered my services if they'd like, you know, a sports
for
reporter.
For the taxes or for...
Yeah,
you can fill
in
and do the accountant work while
sure.
he's on
I can crunch some
ice.
Numbers. But I say, Q, I'll go a net for you if you need. I'm here for you.
I'll play a little hockey in eighth grade.
Puck.
Yep. I mean, I didn't play in high school or nothing, but you know, but I'm gonna tell you something. I'm my Pee Wee team. I'm pretty good.
You never know.
Big deal.
You're
and
in
tonight,
the building.
For people who are arriving tonight, it's Oktoberfest.
Yes.
So go to if you enter and go to the Concord, to the atrium.
The atrium is decked out.
Yes.
It's blue and white. They have ribbons all on the ceiling. Long tables, German style.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a festival when you walk in. Very cool. And then check out Queenie's, too, because you said that's awesome.
Oh, it is
I just
amazing.
Looked at the menu.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And you don't have to have a ticket to the game to go in there. Although, I know there's a question that everybody asks when I say that. You don't need a ticket. They go, well, why would I go there if there wasn't a ticket for the game?
Because Queenie's might be worth it.
Because Queenie's is a really good restaurant, and when we're back here in a couple of weeks, we're going to be doing our show from Queenie's, and we're going to be bringing some people with us to do that. It's really going to be something, because Queenie's has like this deck that overlooks
really
the
cool.
atrium.
Yeah. Very cool spot.
And I get to do my Evita impression up there.
Oh, perfect.
Where I stand up there. I used to say Pope, but then everybody got mad at me about it. So now I do my Evita, and I stand up, and it's like a parapet that you go out on, and I can address all the people who are down in the atrium next to the Jordan statue.
The little people.
Well, they're littler from down there. They're a little smaller. And so we're going to be doing a show up there. That's going to be a ton of fun, so people can go see that. And this Oktoberfest is... My guess is, based on what they've already given us as we've arrived...
Yeah, the little Alpine hat here we've got, the German Alpine hat, and the
beer stein.
The beer steins.
Live music, dancing, contest, and giveaways.
Is everybody going in? Let's see, hold on a second. No, maybe not, because there's
no
a price
chance.
Tag on the Alpine
hat. All the giveaways with hats, my pumpkin hat, they don't fit, so.
Me either. They're like almost
really?
Kid size.
I got a fat hat. Yeah, you got a tiny
and it's got
little...
a little feather, and as well as the Blackhawk logo on the front, Oktoberfest.
Nice.
Does this make you homesick when you see a hat like this?
I told you off air, this is much nicer than my homeland hats. The Serbian hats are sheepskin cones.
Coat.
So you look like an Oompa Loompa, but like sheep fur.
Is everyone miniature like you out there? Is it just
No, there's
people?
There's a range. Well, it's either very short or very tall. You're either mountain people or village people.
Gotcha.
I'm a village person, not a mountain. So, you know, I'm small. My whole family's small.
We know.
I'm trying to figure out what is it. I'm trying to figure out the logic behind this between the village and the mountain.
Well, because the villagers have to forge.
Is that a rivalry between the villagers and the mountaineer?
Villagers are you know farmers, so they bend down harvesting stuff. You farm
closer to the ground.
Yeah, so you're smaller.
Sense. Right.
Okay.
Mountain people. I don't know why they're tall, but they are.
I'd want to be a village people.
Yeah.
Too.
Yes.
Village people.
I'm going to do that actually.
For Halloween.
Yes.
Hey, first 500 fans do get the Oktoberfest themed hat.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There
no matter how big your
Woo-hoo!
Head is. Small head, big head, you get one.
So- by Broadcasting United Center before tonight's Blackhawks game, brought to you by Citgo. Fill up at your locally owned station today. Brocon Show with Anna DeVlantis live for the United Center as we get ready for the Hawks and the Rangers tonight in an original six matchup. And I love watching original six uniforms, sweaters, jerseys, whatever you want to call them, laundry here in this building. I love it.
So, it's going to be a fun night. Fun.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah. You going to be sitting in a place where we'll be able to see the facial expressions on that you tend to have that are really exaggerated when the Hawks score?
I will be, actually, yes.
Oh, and the nice seats.
Yes. So, well, yeah.
If you spot Roe on TVs, take a picture of it with your phone and tweet it at us.
Please. Absolutely. We'll retweet it, guaranteed. Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank Look closely.
You. Thank you very little.
Some great expressions I've seen in the newspapers and, you know,
over the years,
digitally.
And, over the years, I like to sit close, and over the years, I've made some facial expressions that end up making...
more news than the actual game.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we're not exactly sure why that is. All right. But back to our top story of the last couple of days, last 2 days, has been these pipe bombs that were delivered to political figures and also to CNN in the name of a national security figure, right? John Brennan was totally misaddressed. But I think there are clues in all of this. Steve Gomez joins us right now, ABC News security contributor and former special agent of the FBI. And right now, one of the things that I think is kind of swimming around in the news cycle is whether or not these were actual devices that could have harmed anybody. There are some people making the argument that these are false flags and that this has, you know, that this is a stunt as opposed to an actual dangerous situation. Is there any clarity from the FBI on what actually we have here?
It does not look like there's clarity at this point. And I think that's why in the press conference they didn't want to answer that question with any clarity, because I don't think that they quite know for sure how to answer that question. From what I understand, these devices, these pipe bombs, were structured more or less like a functioning pipe bomb. It's all a question of, did it contain the kind of materials that would have allowed it to explode and to fire off shrapnel that would have done damage to somebody? It's almost like the difference between, say, a firecracker and a cherry bomb or an M80. You know, like, you know, if you go back a ways with fireworks, you know, that one is going to be a pop, another one is going to be a big loud bang, and potentially, you know, create a lot more problems. So these definitely look like they were functioning, but it's to what degree, and that's the question.
We saw George Soros, I believe, got the first package, what was it, Monday, and since then we've seen several others. Today we received news that Biden in Delaware, two of the packages were addressed there, and I guess intercepted. And then also Robert De Niro at his Tribeca production company, also the housing of his restaurant, same building. Are authorities saying at this point they're sort of bracing themselves to see if there may be more of these packages yet to be delivered or received already that someone hasn't noticed?
Yes, and I think they talked about how they have been scouring the postal system to see if there are any other packages that are in transit. That's definitely something they need to do. They have to consider that. They also have to consider, knowing that there were 10 devices that have been found, that there's the potential that there's some kind of like lab, you know, crude lab out there somewhere where somebody built these 10 devices. And they may potentially have additional explosive material and tools that are left at that lab, as well as some additional devices that were also made that have not been deployed yet. Not saying that that is the case, but they have to assume that that is the case, and they have to go find that lab and those additional materials, because it's a public safety issue.
Right.
Absolutely.
And there were initial reports that this was black powder, like gunpowder, cordite. Was that misreporting at the very beginning? Do we know?
I don't think we know specifically yet, and I think that's why they want to take it over to the lab and have that analyzed. There were also reports that there may be some white powder in it. I don't know if that's, you know, some type of explosive grade white powder, which supposedly burns a little lower, and in white powder it could also, you know, give off the feeling that there's maybe some type of chem bio agent that's inside there. We just saw the ground up castor beans in a letter that was sent to DOD about a week or two ago. So, you know, that could add more fear to the situation, and maybe not, you know, whoever deployed these devices, maybe it was just more about fear and not necessarily, you know, actually executing a plan to set off a chem bio type of an attack.
Right.
So,
we should explain that.
Part of the analysis.
The castor bean situation, that would test positive for ricin, right, which is a very deadly toxin. And then that gets flagged by the sniffers, and then that stops everything. And some people might be, you know, this could be an annoyance. It could be, you know, it could be a misdirection. You never know. One thing that we did learn yesterday I found fascinating is they said when they were looking for the Biden one, mm-hmm. They knew about the Biden one, they said. Now, again, and Steve, you know, you tell me, your former FBI, what you can say and you can't say here. But they said that the Postal Service photographs every package that goes through its system at some point. And that there was some way that they were able to go back and see that what they were looking for here, this particular type of package with, you know, because all of them were the same manila envelope, same
right,
type,
right.
Same everything, that they had encountered it in, you know, at some point in the chain here. Is that true to all, does all postal packaging get photographed? Do you know that?
Well, I got to say that is definitely something that's sensitive that I wouldn't want to really comment on. But what I can tell you, this is just something that's out in the public domain, is that there's facial recognition technology that's out there. We all know that. And you know, I'm a security consultant. I mean, that's what we deal with as far as consulting with clients and businesses and so on. And so if you have the ability to match up photographs, you know, of one item, and then try to look for a similar item, it wouldn't be that difficult if you have that kind of technology deployed. So if you know, if they're describing that kind of capability, then you know, we have to assume that you know, that type of technology does exist and that it is being deployed. And it's just a question of, is it deployed nationwide at every post office?
What about the focus on Florida? That seems we've heard from authorities this afternoon that they have turned their attention to the state of Florida. What do we know about that?
So I was thinking about that. There's been a lot of discussion about that in the last couple of hours. Mm-hmm. And from what we can tell, the return address was from the office of supposedly an office of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I don't believe it was actually her office, but it was portraying it as that okay. In Florida. And so the probability is that where those packages were placed into the mail system is probably somewhere in the South Florida area. It would make sense if they were going to portray these packages coming from Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office in Florida, that you would expect the postmarking would originate in Florida. So it's pretty much a logical step that they would have to deploy additional resources down there. Under the theory that if that's where they where the packages started in the postal system, then you know the possibility that you know the materials to develop these devices were also acquired there. A lot of investigative leads would probably be derived there in South Florida. So it's a logical step.
It is interesting that we're only seeing the picture of the one that was sent to CNN, which appears to have been delivered by courier. And obviously, these other ones, if they were through the Postal Service, would have postmarks on them. And that postmark would have more data than even we understand, you know, just by looking at it on it, so that, you know, to be able to figure out kind of, you know, where it entered into the stream here. And you know, you're learning a lot of interesting things.
Exactly. I mean, and this is part of Investigation 101, but you have a lot of specialties that are going on in this investigation, starting with the bomb techs, of course. They are critical in this investigation. And we're talking about 10 devices. So I would assume that every bomb technician that exists in the U.S. In the JTTFs is involved in this case. And so they are working on forensically examining these devices and trying to figure out as much evidence that they can. Then you also have the postal system. I mean, and that's a very specialized area. I used to work in task forces as an agent, as a supervisor, and as a special agent in charge. And you always had to have postal inspectors involved in the operation because, you know, FBI agents, DEA agents, you know, cops, they don't know the ins and outs of the postal system or even the mailing system when it comes to UPS and DHL and all them. You've got to have those kinds of experts in there. So those people are also weighing in on how these packages were dropped into the mail system. That's very important. You have to think about it from a timeline standpoint. You know, these devices were delivered, but you got to go back to when did they get into the system. And then once you could figure out that, you also want to figure out who built these devices and where did the materials come from. So it's building up a whole timeline of events as well as the profile of the potential suspects.
Just from a layperson's perspective, you see these things addressed and there are misspellings and inaccuracies, didn't get right address or anything like that. Yesterday, it seemed the assessment was that these were not particularly, so it's not a particularly sophisticated person or persons behind this, based on what we're coming to know about the actual contents of the package and the construction of these devices. Are you still thinking that is the theory?
I don't think that the theory should be only one theory. I think everything has to be on the table when it comes to the kind of person or persons that developed these devices. I don't think we can assume that because there's some misspellings and maybe these devices didn't go off and maybe these devices weren't constructed, you know, as effectively as they should have been if you really wanted them to go off, that this is an amateur. I don't think we can assume that. We may be dealing with somebody who wanted it to look like it was amateurish or it looked like they made some mistakes and therefore they didn't go off and they just wanted to create fear as opposed to creating death. So, these are very interesting questions. This is a very different case at all levels. And we'll definitely have to keep track of this.
Seems that way.
Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Steve Gomez, ABC News security contributor, former special agent, the FBI. All right. Thank you, sir. From SAACE, as a matter of fact, that's a big job right there.
Totally. You have the power to influence the course of politics. November 6th, follow the most comprehensive local political news online, chicagotribune.com/midterms. Place to go.
This is exciting.
It is. You can feel it.
I'm talking about the booze that just showed up.
Oh, Kevin. But we're at the United Center, and you just love it as people start to enter, and you can feel the energy in here.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Chef Mike just
and
showed up with a whole arsenal here of different types of drinks.
Do you know what? First of all, let me get this in our live broadcast. Before the Hawks take on the Rangers, brought to you by Gen Power, your single source for renting portable power generators. Visit genpowerrents.com. I will tell you that it's like, to me as a kid, there was always somebody who would come over for Christmas dinner or whatever, and it would be, you couldn't wait for that person to get there.
Yeah. Because, the one who brought you candy?
Because they brought stuff with them.
Gifts, yeah.
You
right.
watch the door, you're like, I know they're next. I know they're coming.
I know, right. That's so true.
They brought food when you were a little kid, and then they brought booze when you were older. You know, it was like that. It was like that person.
Mr. Walsh was our guy.
Yeah.
My dad's friend. He'd bring a big bag of butterscotch candies for us. We just loved it.
That's Chef Mike. He brings us good.
Right. And so when Chef Mike arrives, it's like Santa arrived, and he brings delicious things. He brings alcoholic beverages,
well,
which, you know.
The drinks will arrive first, and then we know the food's not far behind.
Yeah,
we got
shrimp here the size of like a football each. I mean, these things
get
are
out. You're right.
I'm not sure that's a shrimp.
Are those mini lobsters?
Right.
It's really crazy. And this is stuff that you can get at the United Center.
I know.
And
so good.
The chef just told us that he's running the food now for the new Welsh Ryan Arena at Northwestern.
How about that?
How crazy
it's beautiful
is that?
Over
yeah.
there. It really
so
is.
So that's going to be something. So we're very excited.
Chef Mike's everywhere.
Yeah, he is. And I was just telling him, people come up to me and go, hey, you know this, you know Chef Mike, right?
Yeah, everybody knows Chef Mike.
And I say, yeah. And then they go, hey, did you hear he just got, and it's like, Madison Square Garden.
How many people is he feeding per week?
He just got the White House.
Did you hear he just got the Acropolis?
Oh, my
You're
gosh.
Like, what?
Good food coming to you soon somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
From Chef Mike.
He's the best. He's going to eventually every stadium and every major events place in the world. It'll be, do you hear Chef Mike?
Chef Mike's here.
Just be able to go anywhere you want in the world.
And he's coming up next.
Classic radio tease. She's a veteran now. She's a veteran.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Somehow I don't really see her as that, but whatever. Today's broadcast. podcast for the Hawks take on the Rangers, brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. And this is my favorite part of any
the best
Blackhawks broadcast that we do. Chef Mike is stepping up to the microphone, and he has brought things. We got so many things to talk about that are new this year. Every year, I don't know how many years I've been doing this now, like 30, 40 years now, that every year there's you know, new places opening and other places that you know, are changing locations. And and now that you have so much more room in here because you built the offices are now just directly east on the other side of the atrium from the stadium itself, you're using all those old office spaces to build these, you know, beautiful. There's some things we still have yet to have discovered and can't talk about, and I was sworn to secrecy about. And
haven't been unveiled yet,
yes,
right?
But then Queenie's, which was one that you didn't want to tell us all about last year.
You were
year,
being so super secret on that one.
And now it has just opened up, and it's this. It is a restaurant that reminds me of, like, Arnie's or of the original Eli's in Chicago. Uh-huh. It's like one of those old. You step back in time when you go into it. It's a beautiful room. It's got a piano bar in the middle of it. Where it's got it's got these it's kind of got this kind of 70s lush feel to it. 60s, 70s.
Well, that's awesome you say that, because the goal was a Midwest supper club.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's, but with elevated, because you're Chicago, you're United Center, elevated experiences, whether it's the food, it's the cocktails, it's the service. That was the ultimate goal. And when you walk through there, it is pretty impressive.
Gorgeous. We're going to do our show in November from there.
I can't wait. I'm just looking at the menu right now. You got the tableside Caesar salad, which just sounds spectacular. A warm spinach salad, the lobster bisque. You've got these amazing cocktails, too.
Yeah.
Including those that involve some, do they have ice cream drinks or something?
They have frozen drinks.
Frozen
well
grapefruit
as,
margarita,
yeah,
I saw, too. Yum.
As well as... as you see in front of us, that giant-sized beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably say it wrong, so for all the German people out
it's
there.
It's a Kölsch. That's a good beer right there,
Kölsch,
Chef Mike.
But it's a 22-ounce beer there. So, and the vehicle is the same one for that jumbo ship cocktail. So in seafood, like shrimp.
And when you say vehicle, he means vehicle. You could fit a family of four in that.
You put wheels on that and have a whole family. Go to Wisconsin in that, or Oktoberfest.
I saw that First Man movie. That's as big as the Apollo capsule was. I'm forever impressed by it. Can I just ask you sort of an inside business question about this? So
sure.
You got to turn those tables quickly because it's an event space. You're in the middle of, you know, people got to get ready for the show. So are there a number of different seatings? How do they work that out?
Well, they take reservations. It's a large room, so it does hold up to a couple hundred people at a time. Mm. The one cool thing that they did when you're up there, you'll get to see, is they actually have projectors that project the game onto the wall outside the windows.
Okay, so it's all right. So what you do, you're standing there, and it looks like there's windows,
uh-huh.
But they're really not. And you look out, and it's like you're looking out of a window. You get the sense that you're looking out of a window, and it looks like you're looking down onto the ice and watching the game while it's
oh,
on.
How cool.
You can see the game.
But it's not really there.
No, there's
it's a
wall
projection.
There. Yeah.
It's so cool. It gives you, I don't know if it's like a steady camera from a particular angle, and it gives you the sense that you're there. I mean, it's
oh, I love that.
Really a great trick.
Yeah, so if you're taking your time, you know, enjoying your meal, you can still see the beginning of the game. You're not going to miss a thing.
Oh, it's awesome.
And it's open on game nights right now, is that right?
Right now it's on game nights.
And concert nights.
And concerts, yeah.
Right. So for both Bulls, Hawks, and then whatever is going on,
yeah.
You know, the Elton John this weekend. There is, and people make reservations, right? Queenie's, which I'm assuming there's a website people can go to or you can just Google it like you do everything else.
QueeniesSupperClub.com.
And you can make a reservation. You can come in. You don't need a ticket to an event to get into it.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it makes sense if you're coming to the event that you know, you have your ticket separately. But to get to access, you can meet friends here for the event and then just blow them off and leave them right there. And they can watch the event through the fake windows.
If that's what you want to do to your friends. But it's open to everyone. So you don't have to have a certain seat in a certain location or be on a certain level.
Right.
It's open.
It's not a club. It's not a club in the sense that
it's not a private club.
Private club like Kettle One or anything like that. We have to have a season pass.
Now, you'd be really doing something if you find out where the name Queenie's came from.
Well, Rocky Wirtz told us already.
Oh, he did? Okay. Mm-hmm.
But go ahead and fill us in.
Well, if Rocky told you, that was a nickname of his grandmother. And it's funny, when he remarried, his wife's last name was Queen. And when they got one, they love beagles, and one of his beagles was named Queenie.
Yeah. And his daughter's nickname is Queenie, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no pressure when you were designing the menu and trying to make sure it was a great place to go visit. Very personal to Rocky.
Yeah, and this was a great collaboration between the United Center, the Heisler Hospitality, and Levy. So it was fun all the way along the way. And you talked about the tableside Caesar salad. There's going to be a tableside carved prime rib. So it's actually what old is new again. It is actually going back to that 70s era where that stuff happened when you dined. This is just a lighter, you can see more in this supper club versus maybe the older supper clubs. It's kind of a little hard to see in those.
Different
but
view.
You want to see the food here. You want to see the cocktail.
You know, what's amazing is you go to a place, and sometimes you just fall in love with the room itself. Uh-huh. You know, some of the great restaurants do that too. You know, Gibson's is one of the great examples in the world. You know, people go there, you just feel comfortable because of the booths and the way you feel when you're in the room. Mm-hmm. This is exactly that feeling. You walk in and the furniture is amazing, it's comfortable, and the level of service is that, you know, great steakhouse, you know, high-end kind of an experience. And, you know, you're in the United Center. And it's part of the trick of elevating the experience, which is what, you know, modern 21st century entertainment is all about, is to make people, it isn't just about serving people hot dog and popcorn in the, you know, in the concourse the way it used to be. People expect a show, they expect it to be dramatic, they expect their food and their service to be, you know, good if not great. And, you know, you're going above and beyond here.
You got, if people are foodies and they know their beverages nowadays, you can't really trick people. It's like how Google stopped people from telling little white lies. Well, same thing in the food industry.
You sort of.
Hold on a second. Don't go too far. 100%.
I said little white lies.
But it used to be stadium food was stadium food. And once they got you there, they got you, and that's all you had to do. But you guys just go over the top, and that this is where you want to be for your entertainment, but it's also where you want to be here for the food.
Yeah, the United Center is so great at being ahead of the curve.
Absolutely.
You know, when people come to visit here, a lot of other, we won't say who, but hey, how do we take this back to our place? Because they reinvent everything here.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how, like, you walk in. Larry Levy used to say, the greatest project out there still hasn't come yet. That's kind of how it is here. There's things always changing here. The vision here is just amazing.
From the little things to the big things, even the little thing like the putting veterans out on the ice for the national anthem, that started here. Now everybody does that. Yeah. The whole idea of stopping and saluting veterans in the middle of a game, that began here. That began in this building with this organization. And then it spread to all the leagues and all the stadiums in America. And when you stop and you think about when you guys had the chance to redo the concourse 2 years ago, and what you guys decided to do in terms of dropping in these restaurants, and you kind of, there's the food truck world changed the way that people want to eat. You know, they want portability, they want things to move around, they want different types of restaurants in different spaces, and you know, you guys adjusted right to that. And now when you walk in here between the seats and the lights and everything, because you always have to adjust, this is a different, if people have not seen. And I always say this about hockey. If you've never seen it live, come out and see it. If you've never seen hockey at the United Center, you got to come out and see it. And thank God the tickets are hard to come by again.
Right.
Because there was some time, I'm just going to say, last year where it was a little easier. But now, you know, they're hot and it's back. It's really in this game. And the New Yorkers, can I just get away? Because you're from Philly, so we could talk about this for just a second.
Okay.
We can talk about this.
Here it comes.
See, these New Yorkers are going to be here tonight. Do they travel well? Oh,
yes.
Yes. Well, the half of them live here.
Yeah.
Do they travel as well as Patriots fans at a Bears game? Because that was horrible.
Well, those people live here, too. I mean, there's a lot of Boston
Chef
nights.
Mike, can you tell us how you feel about New York sports fans? I know how the rivalry goes with Philly and New York. can't say on the radio?
I can't say on the radio, but, you know, I don't root for anybody in New York.
Very diplomatic. You
know, very, very.
Thank God I don't have a property in New York.
Nice, right, exactly. Yeah, wait
Madison Square Garden off the list.
Wait till he gets the garden. When he gets the garden, it's all going to be different. But it is funny because when you these tickets tonight, it's going to be true at Soldier Field on Sunday with the Jets. More so when the Giants are in town. But when the Jets are going to be here, you get and New Yorkers and they want it and they make noise. They are intense. You know, when the Mets or the Yankees or whatever are here. When the Yankees are at Sox Park,
Yeah.
I've been to those games.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's more Yankees fans.
What's going on?
And so it's like an experience. And tonight it's going to be a tussle in here. It's going to be so much fun.
But it's also like how the Blackhawks fans travel, you know, down to Nashville.
Well, that's true.
Down, you know, you have so many out on the West Coast in Arizona.
Oh, Arizona.
And you look at some of those games, you're like, wow, there's more Hawks sweaters in those seats.
Tampa, West Coast of Florida.
Yeah, it's great.
California. You went to an LA Kings game and it was all Blackhawks fans.
Yeah.
Then the Kings got good.
Right.
And then they realized that, oh my God, it's like soccer on ice is what they realized.
Southern
California.
Except it's cold. We're not used to that.
Maybe we should do a Roe, like Roe can do instead of the Marlin guy. Uh-huh. He could be the Blackhawk guy. He just starts showing up everywhere in a Blackhawk sweater.
Right.
It's different baseball games.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have the hat on or whatever.
Oh, I like that.
I like that too.
I like that idea. Yeah. Oh, Chef, you're on to something.
He's an idea guy.
Yeah, I like that because that's kind of the way. I was just watching, it was at College Game Day, that Washington State flag that has been traveling all over the country now for 20 years or something?
It's a big number. I know that. They always talk about it.
Consecutive College Game Day broadcasts.
Yes.
This Washington State University flag, a big one, gets flown behind the main desk, and it's in the camera view at least for one moment during College Game Day. And they finally did the College Game Day from Washington State last Saturday.
Yes.
And they met the people who made the flag, who've been doing
this.
They literally will fly the flag around the country sometimes to get the same flag. To get it to the position, they'll find an alumni or somebody who's willing to go do it in wherever they happen to be. And sometimes they just drive the people there. Those are the kinds of traditions that make sports so great.
They did it to convince Game Day to go to the school, right?
It took them 20 years to do it.
Right.
Seems like a little bit, they had patience. God bless them for doing it.
Right.
But, I mean, it's the same sort of – so I like the idea of that. I would like to be the guy wearing I would be the Hawks guy anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, you know, back in the day, there was a period of time, and maybe it still happens, but whenever you watch the Hawks game, there was always people, even on the road, sitting behind the Hawks bench with a Hawks jersey.
Yeah.
Now, how likely is that to happen every game?
Yeah. You're right.
But it's kind of cool, right?
It's the best.
It's unique.
All right. So for people coming tonight, if they want to check out Queenie's, I don't know if there's reservations left for tonight. There might be. If you want to eat there tonight, queeniessupperclub.com. And you can, or just go on.
QueeniesSupperClub.com is where you can go get your reservation.
But there's also reserve.com where you can reserve.com/QueeniesSupperClub.
Yeah, which is what most restaurant companies use out there.
Is reserve.com.
Make reservations.
So go do that. And then, next time, whether it's tomorrow night or Saturday night for Elton John or whatever, do that too. Because I'm going to tell you, this will become, once you've gone there once, this will become your joint.
It's going to be hard to get into.
Yeah, you didn't even talk about the balcony.
He did earlier. He does his Evita thing where he speaks to the people below.
We're doing our show from the balcony.
Very nice.
In a couple of weeks
with the piano playing.
And I'm going to stand up there and I'm going to sing.
Oh God!
Don't cry for me, Argentina. I have a whole thing planned.
All right.
Don't worry.
All right.
I look very good in a dress.
Will you be dressed like Madonna?
I will be dressed like Eva Perón. I went to the Eva Perón Museum in Buenos Aires last year, and I've become very. I'm a Peronista now.
Oh, yeah. How about that? That'll be fascinating to watch.
Yes. You are a true Renaissance.
I am.
Yeah. He does everything well.
Can I say something else here, too, at Queenie's? And I don't know if they're doing this anywhere else. They are selling this. I just noticed this on the list.
Look at the menu.
On the bottles and cans, Genesee Cream Ale.
That's old school.
That is old school.
Yeah.
That is like, I can't, if you, from the East Coast, people who lived on the East Coast. I learned about it in college. But on the East Coast, that was the thing. That was like, you know.
Yeah. Cream Ale.
Jenny, right. Nice guy. Oh, my gosh. That is amazing. Mike, thank you very much, as always.
Thank you, Chef Mike.
You're the best.
I love seeing you.
And
doing great work.
We've got, they're pointing at something. Oh, there's Violetta. This is really funny. Mike picked up Vila's been wearing a sweater over her blouse because it got a little cold in here when they open. You know, they chill it down before they open the doors. And he picked it up because there's a 10-year-old on your show today because her little sweater was so small.
It's a crop top sweater, which means nothing to you people.
But it fits her normally.
Well, whatever. It's cold in here. There's a big chunk of ice out there.
Thank you, Violetta.
You're welcome. Would you like a traffic report?
No, I need to talk to... I don't know why I asked you.
Alpana Singh is back with Check, Please on WTTW, and she joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow to talk about her return to the hosting chair. Her new restaurant, by the way, Tara and Vine.
Tara and Vine,
the Evanston
thank
place.
You.
We were trying to remember the name. Tara.
That's correct.
Vine. It's
Tara and Vine.
Mediterranean.
Yes.
Inspired dishes.
It's wood-fired Mediterranean.
Oh, gosh, that's
is what it is.
There's nothing wrong with
yes,
that.
Yes, it was. She doesn't do anything wrong.
No,
that boarding house
right.
is a great restaurant.
It was so good.
She was great on the television.
Mm.
She's a sommelier in Yay.
One of the youngest in history.
Yes.
I used to actually work at Check, Please, but right after she left.
I'm sorry. You worked at Check, Please?
Yeah, I was a producer there. I worked with Jackie Weber. And
Violetta always drops these little nuggets. You're like, what? Really?
Like, are we sure?
Yeah.
Can someone check that?
She's not old enough to have all of this experience.
Yeah, you don't have that kind of history,
do
you?
She's like, oh, yeah, I worked on this person's political campaign.
Well,
right.
I was in the Bush White House. Wait a minute.
I was a senior advisor to George President Bush.
So this is where we find out that this is where, literally, and she's on the phone. She goes, Vladimir, don't worry. I got it all covered. And then she hangs up. And then we find out she's been a plant here this whole time.
Bob Mueller on the phone.
Are you a Russian spy?
No.
But
I do need to clarify something about the village people I talked about earlier. My sister texted me, and it wasn't village people I was talking about. It was valley people.
Oh,
the valley people are
major
short.
Difference.
We're
major.
All village people, but the valley
not all of
and
you.
Mountain.
Some of them are not fit for the village. I can say right now.
Well, for the well, they're
yes.
fine.
Yes, right. Well, I got to tell you that Bronco's for the village. Because they need a guy like
he's
him
a village man. They
yeah.
Need a mover and a shaker. Get things done over there.
Big man on village.
I just don't want to offend my people out there. There's a difference between village and valley.
Mm-hmm.
Got lost in translation.
Yes. And Violetta was just translating it from English to English. So I know how complicated that can be. We just learned that she's an Emmy Award-winning producer for
Check, Please.
For Check, Please.
How about that?
Who knew that?
I actually
Congrats.
Applied to be the host. That was a no right away. So I was a producer.
Okay.
It's a fun show. So that's cool you got to work on it.
Rokon Show with Anna DeVos.
Yes.
Live from the United Center.
The kids are dancing out here.
It's starting to warm up.
It's Oktoberfest night at the United Center.
Dreams do come true.
So the trinking and tansing has begun.
Queenie's brought all his food. And I was like, man, I could really go for some red meat. And a big old 16-ouncer ribeye bone-in, medium rare shows up. Dreams do come true, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I drink the Dreamsicle
ice cream drink, all of it.
Yes. I said to Chef Mike, after you had polished off the Dreamsicle, and it comes in one of those kind of glasses. It's got like an ice cream, like sundae kind
yeah,
of glass.
Like
glass.
An old fountain-style glass.
Mm-hmm. After she finished it off,
mm-hmm.
I said to Mike, because she was starting to get a little loopy, she was tilting.
No.
And I said to Mike, what's in it? He goes, vodka.
Vodka.
And?
Mm-hmm. Vodka.
There's some orange-flavored
it's orange.
Alcohol, too.
Something happens now with Violetta when she gets into stuff like this. This is when your voice starts to travel. Like, people on the other side of the United Center are going to be able to hear Violetta's voice just bouncing off the walls and out to the other side
you
of
know,
the United Center. Something happens with the way,
true.
With your tone.
It's delicious.
When you dive into this stuff.
This broadcast being brought to you by, for a very short period of time, Geico. Visit them at geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. All right, it's time now. It's
it
time
is.
Now to do the thing that we do here at 5 o'clock, and it's called...
It's the Top 5 on the Rokon Show.
Five,
let's go!
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes!
Yes!
Get on with it!
Well, this is really something here.
Mm-hmm. Another day.
Checking in at
number 5.
Sarah Sanders was at a White House gaggle this morning. She wasn't taking questions in the White House press briefing room. She only does that once every 6 weeks now. And then she sees her shadow and she leaves again.
Stop.
6 more weeks until there's more questions. I don't know. This is it got a little weird. So There was a question by Abby Phillip from CNN about why the president was referring to the media as evil, and is he the one responsible for upping the temperature in this whole thing? And then Sarah Sanders has just had enough. She does not want to hear this anymore.
The president feels like we should call out despicable acts, which is exactly what he has done over the last 24 hours. The idea that...
Is evil an appropriate way to describe
it? It's a word that people have used on your network a number of times, not only to describe the president, but many people that work in this administration. Absolutely.
What about the media?
Day in, day out, there is a negative tone. 90% of the media attention around this president is negative, despite historic job creation, despite the fact that our economy is booming, despite the fact that trade deals that everybody said couldn't be made have been made, despite the fact that the president is trying to install law and order at our border and protect the security of Americans from the East Coast to the West Coast, North and South. You guys continue to focus only on the negative, and that is there is a role to play.
But she wasn't done.
Does the president at least take partial responsibility for the state of the political discourse right now? He's called out the media. Does he acknowledge he also has a direct role to play?
Look, there's a big difference between comments made and actions taken. The president is certainly not responsible for sending suspicious packages to someone, no more than Bernie Sanders was responsible for a supporter of his shooting up a Republican baseball field practice last year. The idea that this is at the hands of the president is absolutely ridiculous.
You know, I would like to, Sarah Sanders, make one point to her, which she already knows, but I'll just make it anyway.
Okay.
If the president, and he has all of those, many of those things, a little embellishment there, but basically it is, we get record level unemployment, or employment, I should say, low unemployment. We, you know, the economy is gangbusters. The, you know, the Dow is, you know, at 25,000 essentially. It was up to 27,000 at one point. There are some good economic stories here.
Sure.
There are some, you know, he's a law and order guy. A lot of Americans like that. If he behaved in a more moderate way in terms of his own personal demeanor, it has nothing to do with his politics. I don't think people are even offended by his politics as they are by how he behaves. The things he says, the take no prisoners rhetorical take on everything, where everybody who's against him is evil and bad, and people who love him are great and the best, as opposed to, and I get it's marketing, it's all part of it's branding, and that's what he does, but that's not presidential. I don't want P.T. Barnum as my president.
Anthony Scaramucci was interviewed on Fox News today and said that the president lies on purpose to try to incite his opponents, and he does that just to sort of rile them up. And I, you know, look, on this issue, he's actually been more of a unifying voice than I expected. I thought that he would, you know, take aim at the people who were there were some people sort of hanging the responsibility on him on these bombings and these packages being sent with these pipe bombs. And I don't know, I think it's sort of irresponsible to do that at this point. You don't know what's in the mind of this person. You have no idea who they are or what their intentions are. That discussion should be had about the polarization and the fact that there is a lot of vitriol, but I don't think you can attach it at all to this bombing situation at this point.
All right, let me throw something at you.
Okay.
I'm going to throw something at you. That's fine. I'm going to make a prediction.
What do you think?
Today is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6:16 on the East Coast, 5:16 right here in Chicago. 24 hours from now, either a potty break tweet in the morning or something,
it's going to turn the
dam
the tide.
Is going to break.
You might
this.
Be right.
Yeah, I say within the day, the next 24 hours, that he will have turned. He will blame the bombing on the Democrats.
We'll see.
By words, if not deeds. Unless it turns out there was a Democrat as a false flag kind of thing, which I doubt, but, you know, if you listen to talk radio, that's all you're hearing today. All right, checking in at...
Number four.
The View discussed the continued deterioration of political discourse, and Meghan McCain acknowledged that she has played a role with some of her heated commentary in the past as the nation deals with the fallout from this week's multiple bomb scares. McCain told her colleagues that she's done a lot of soul searching recently.
Last year on this show, I said, I hate Hillary Clinton, and I called her Crooked Hillary. And it is one of the things I regret doing. I have many vast differences of opinion on philosophy and ideology, and I didn't think she was a great candidate. But hate is not a word that should be coming out of my mouth on television about someone of a different political right. persuasion. Yeah. So I need to hold myself to the same standard that I would like to hold the president. And I implore everyone else in media, because I think we should cop to our mistakes. And I'm damn sure going to continue trying to do it like my father did. Mm-hmm. I'm not always going to tell you I'm going to succeed, but I do regret doing that.
It is, you know, I'm glad she said that because...
Mm-hmm. You don't hear it often, that's for sure.
No, and what I like most about what she's saying there is we throw around the word hate a lot. Mm-hmm. And we talk about hating individuals who we don't know. Right? I hate... blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Right? I hate, you know, you can hate Donald Trump or Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or whatever. You don't know those people.
That's true.
Right? I mean, you don't know what you know, what they really are. You may hate what they stand for politically. You may hate how they have acted or what they have said, but hating the individual, and it does become a blood sport about hating an individual. If you're going to hate something, hate the Green Bay Packers.
Aaron Rodgers. I mean, why not?
Yeah. I won't hate Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, because he's a human being. Okay.
I hate the Green Bay Packers.
I like how big you've become, Ro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'll go back to hating him next week.
I did hate Aaron Rodgers.
What about when they play them next? Do you get to hate him on that day?
I hated him that night in Green Bay.
The unspeakable things that happened in week one.
Yes. That which shall not be remembered. I hate, and that I've had to
sit through therapy sessions because of week one.
I also hate the fact that he has dated all of my celebrity crushes.
I hate the fact that the ESPYs gave him, quarterback of the year, or after when Tom Brady had just done the biggest comeback in the history of sports.
I quite honestly prefer
Bowl.
That to Tom Brady, but I don't hate him. I just hate the Green Bay Packers. So let's try to keep our hatred for sports institutions, people.
Institutions only. Okay. We'll see how long that lasts. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
This week on Chicago's Best, pulled pork sandwiches, turkey tips, and ribs. It's a finger-licking good episode. Chicago's Best Barbecue, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Our live broadcast tonight, center before the Blackhawks take on the Rangers, brought to you by Citgo. Fill up at your locally owned station today.
You can hear the kegs rolling by, and then you've got the men in the lederhosen walking around the concourse because it's Oktoberfest night at the United Center.
And Violetta just went running up to the guys in the lederhosen screaming, Papa! Papa! Papa, can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a unique situation going on here in the concourse.
Weird.
It's something to see.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what's happening. All right, we'll move on without her then. We're in the top five.
See you later.
We've worked our way up to
number three.
Jimmy Kimmel. He want to know who won or who didn't win the Mega Millions jackpot.
I assume that the fact that you are here with us tonight means you did not win the lottery last night. I'm sorry. The Mega Millions jackpot was $1.5 billion. A single winning ticket was sold in South Carolina, where the winner is planning on buying South Carolina. So that's... South Carolina is one of a handful of states where the lottery winner is allowed to remain anonymous, or as anonymous as you can be when you suddenly have a fleet of gold jet skis on your front lawn.
Or a fighter jet, as you dreamed of.
Yeah, well, okay, so you want to know the good news?
What's the good news?
The good news is that the ball is back. Powerball.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It rolled over. No one won that one, so still got a shot.
We got that going for us.
If you want to feel better about yourself that you didn't win the Mega Millions, go read the story of Jack Whitaker. I was reading in the Washington Post today.
Just
that
about
poor
everything
guy.
That could go wrong with
everything.
Yeah, but he hung out in strip clubs every day. What do you expect?
Well, he went to celebrate with the strip clubs, and then he put $500,000 on a briefcase in his car, and someone broke in and stole it. And his house was on fire, and somebody in his family died, and people were in prison, and it just did not go well.
I'll still take it. Why do some states make you come out and be in the public and have?
Well, Illinois does specifically because they don't want the politician stealing it. They figure someone inside is going to steal it. That's the truth.
There's a credibility to it by knowing that the person has won and not just keeping it all secret.
Yeah.
That there is an individual who
South
claimed
Carolina,
the prize.
South Carolina, oh my God, Violetta is dancing with the people now in the letters.
Oh my God.
There's no music. What was in that drink?
Is that the chicken dance they're all doing right now? I don't know, but she did drink a very large ice cream flavored beverage with a lot of alcohol.
She's back in her village.
Is this the valley or is this the mountain that she's just come back from? I don't know.
Are they valley people or mountain people?
Now they're all looking at us like, oh my God.
Hi guys, these are my new German friends. They're doing the dancing entertainment at the Oktoberfest tonight.
Awesome.
Hello.
And one of them just spin me around. What was that called, that move?
Oh, God. Violetta, we're in the middle of the top this 5 and 5, and I have to keep going.
It's a radio program.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. All right. Checking in.
Number 2.
Ellen DeGeneres had Sean P. Diddy Combs on, and apparently P. Diddy is afraid of clowns.
Is this a true story? I want to know. I heard you're scared of clowns.
No.
I heard that.
Impossible.
Why is it impossible?
Because I'm a black man.
You can be scared.
I have so many other things to be fearful of. A clown is not going to scare me.
Really?
Yes. I'm not afraid of clowns.
But I heard that you were.
Are you on a play? You know, I woke up this morning and I said, I want my life to be full of surprises. Ellen, I thank you. Thank you.
So he was scared out of his mind.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm scared of him, too.
I would have done the exact same thing.
Me, too.
All right. And finally,
number 1.
A little over a year ago, Martin Stanton was out for a walk with his camera when he encountered an adorable donkey named Harriet hanging out in a field near his home in Ireland. From the first moment, Stanton was smitten. I don't know where this is going, by the way.
This is quite a story.
Now I'm a little worried. And it was then that he decided to introduce himself by gifting Harriet a treat. The dear donkey gave Stanton an unforgettable gift. In return, it turns out, Harriet has a surprisingly unique singing voice. Oh. And she put on a performance for Stanton, as if to say thank you for the treats. And now it's gone viral.
Oh my gosh, that's a donkey? That was crazy.
He actually sounded sad.
It did.
No, I didn't think so. I thought it was appreciation.
It was a little melancholy. Is that how elephants say?
Same treats?
I'm just trying to put together a stage show. I'm just wondering, how am I going to monetize this thing?
That one just sounds like a horned-up monkey or something. Every time I
you know what?
One.
We should never let the kids drink
no,
at Thanksgiving.
Exactly. I mean, this I is the problem of serving alcoholic beverages like 2 hours ago.
Let me tell you something. You know what it sounds like to me? There's one horned-up monkey right there.
All right. Great.
Damn, boy. Get a room.
All right. I think it's time to wrap that up, please.
The
top 5 at 5. Today's broadcast. For the Hawks take on the Rangers, brought to you by Geico. Visit geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. Adam Burrish has just stepped into
our
broadcast facility here at the Goose Island Pub, right across from, where are we? We're across from one. I was having trouble with this yesterday.
What is it, 110?
108 and 109.
108, 109.
108.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And just so I can set the scene for everybody at home, you guys are well fed here. There was a big bone-in steak. There's chicken fingers,
even
French
the
fries,
bone's gone now. I think our engineer
salad,
ate the bone.
I like that. Is that a spicy margarita?
Yeah, I think it's a grapefruit margarita with mezcal. Wow. Yep. And we had the ice cream beverages with loaded with alcohol that Violetta imbibed in. And
we'll give Queenie's a plug.
Sure.
Queenie's is a great idea what they're doing there with Queenie's, this high-end restaurant that they put in the stadium that's adjacent to it, so you can go, you don't even have to go to the game. You can go watch the game from inside the restaurant by way of kind of a bit of a visual trick. Have you been up there yet, Adam?
Yeah, it's a cool space. Looks over the atrium.
Yeah.
The only thing disappointing me is that margarita is just a little out of my reach right now.
We'll give it to you when you're done. It looks like an awesome place.
Adam, this is the beauty of being in the broadcast world after you're in sports. is that, you know, everybody in broadcasting is treated like this. Yep. You know, we walk into a place and, you know, the chef of the place comes and delivers food and there's dancing. We have literally dancing women out.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah. This is like, it's a
great thing. Maybe you guys, not me. Maybe because I'm still new at this.
When you're a player, you got to drink those gross green drinks, and then now we get margaritas. It's much better.
I like this diet.
Yeah. Although the green drink, though, I would say Chef Mike's version of the green drink, quite good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, there's probably something, a little special sauce in that green
drink. He won't tell us. Yeah. He won't reveal it. I mean, we've asked him so many times. Yeah. We try to get him off guard. Won't do it.
And hockey players don't like to drink. What are you kidding me?
That's, that's very healthy.
Straight edge.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, how exciting is it this year? This is very fun.
This has been awesome. And I think if you would have asked anybody at the start of the year, are they going to start 5-2, you know, and some ties, would you take it? Heck yeah, you would have taken it. And the games have been fun. They've been exciting. That game, the first home opener against Toronto, was maybe one of the most exciting hockey games I've ever been to in my life. The back and forth. Other than maybe you throw out that Tampa game, and Tampa's a sick team. They're as good as anybody. Throw that game out. The games have been exciting. They're entertaining. The Stars are putting on a show. And Kane, Taves, DeBrincat. And now you throw Crawford back in there. A lot of fun storylines. It's making my job easy, and I'm sure you guys too, that we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. And coming to these games again is exciting. Last year, the way it ended, it was a little frustrating.
Deflating.
Oh, yeah.
This has been awesome this season. I don't think you could ask for a better start.
Talk about that, though, to have that core performing, just to see that. How does that electrify the rest of the team?
That's what matters. And people always now, you know, the experts want to break down, well, what about secondary scoring? And who? It doesn't matter in the league anymore. You've got to have your studs producing every night. Look around the league. All the teams that are great, they've got 3, 4, 5 guys that carry the mail, and that's it. That's the way the league goes now. It's like that in every sport. In football, you got to have a quarterback. Basketball, LeBron James is going to hog the ball and score 500 points a night. In hockey, you got to have two lines that can score, and you got to have a great goaltender, and the Hawks have that now. So anybody questioning, is this team going to make the play? This team's a playoff team, no question about it. When your stars are performing like they are, you get confidence. Look at Taves. He's got a big smile on his face this year. Yeah. He's lighting it up. Kane's Kane.
Okay, let's talk about that, because I think that's an excellent observation. But, you know, you are a teammate. You get to understand. It seems the last two seasons he was tight.
Yeah.
You know, coming off of 15, which, I mean, 15 was an amazing season, and there was a goal in that season where he scored from behind the net, and I still can't figure out how he did it, and it didn't hit anybody.
A magic trick.
It somehow bent around and went in. He's, and, you know, he had an amazing season then, and then, you know, 16 was just a letdown for the guys, and 17, obviously, and there was talk, you know, the people were thinking, well, maybe he moves on, you know, maybe you start breaking up the team, and then he comes back, and we saw him in July, and he was invigorated and excited.
And hungry.
Yeah.
For me, I think the biggest thing, and not to get too technical, but in the last 3 years, the game's changed a lot. There's no more big guys. There's no more clutching and grabbing. There's no more just banging bodies and hitting and grinding. It's a skill game now. It's speed and skill. If you can't skate and you're not agile and you're not super fit, you can't play in the league anymore. And I think in the last 3 years, all these young guys have come up, and guys that have been in the league 6, 7, 8 years, you're used to doing what you've done for 6 or 7 years, the way you train, the way you approach the game, and all of a sudden it changes fast. I mean, the game has changed fast now. And this summer, Taves, you know, talking to him, he said he changed the way he trained. He skated earlier. He was on the ice earlier. He was more conscious of his conditioning. So he would lift his weights because he likes to be strong. He likes to have that big, heavy base. If you've ever seen him, his legs are massive. But he acknowledged his conditioning. And so nowadays, if you're playing in the league 7, 8, 10 years, you've got to be really quick and really fit. And this summer, he grinded his tail off here in Chicago. He stayed here the whole summer and worked with Paulie Goodman, the strength coach, and just trained his tail off. And he was with DeBrincat a lot. And so you see that chemistry they have. Those guys really trained. And now to play, you got to be able to skate. He looks fast out there to
that
me this year.
That kid, wow. First of all, as I said about he and Violetta, our traffic reporter, I said they should be at the top of a wedding cake. He's not a big guy.
Yeah.
But he is so fast, and he does something that you see that Patrick Kane does, which he creates space around him. Because you're never sure where his shoulders are moving, his hips are moving, where his hands are moving. And so he is so much fun. And you just got to feel so great for that kid when he's playing as well as he is. And other teams are starting to respect him.
Yep. I mean, he's deceptive. And I got to be honest with you. If you would have asked me at the start of the year, he scored 28 goals last year, led the team in goals last year. And people would say, do you think he's going to do it again? I went, man, I don't know if he can do that again. Maybe 25, 24 goals. Yeah. He's going to get 30 this year. Yeah. No problem. He's blown me away. He's exceeded expectations. He's just going to keep getting better. He's been fun to watch. He's deceptive. And the thing people don't know is his teammates love him. He's a good kid. He's nice in the locker room. He's respectful. Led the team in goals last year. He could have kind of strutted in there this year, big shot, sophomore on campus.
Well, he's not afraid to get into a little scrap on the
with
ice.
With a guy a lot bigger than him.
A guy like awesome a foot on him.
How awesome was that? I mean, he's the real deal. This guy is the real deal, and people around the league better start taking notice of this guy. And I like the chemistry he's got with Taves, but again, his teammates love him. And when you have that confidence and your teammates trust you, yeah, the sky's the limit for him.
He's excited.
And then he has to go home and do his homework right after the game.
Yeah, and he can't drink yet, right?
It's
soon.
It's awesome. All right, so in terms of just as a member of the team, when you're on the ice and things are starting to turn around and you see the crowd reacting in a way. I mean, Hawks fans are always very loyal.
Yep.
But there's a different sound in this room. You know, you go back to the opener against Toronto, which is so great. Original six team. It's, you know, seeing that blue sweater on this ice is pretty unique, and it's pretty great. And to play as well in this, and the lamp just kept going and going and going. The ComEd bill was huge that night. And had they won that game, I think they would have never lost another game in the entire season.
Yeah. You know,
but it made them hungry. And the engagement of the crowd is so much more than it has been the last two seasons.
Big time. And that you're right. That Toronto game, that kind of set the standard for the year. And all summer long, the guys in Chicago and around the league, all you've heard about is the Toronto Maple Leafs. They signed just John Tavares to $10 billion. They've got Austin Matthews, arguably maybe the best player in the game right now. And all of a sudden, now you've got this Blackhawks team. Well, how are they going to be this year? How are they going to do against maybe the best team everybody's been talking about all summer? Well, they went toe-to-toe with the most offensive and fastest and skilled and young team in the league. I think that gave the Blackhawks a lot of confidence, and I think it gave the fans a lot of confidence. This is going to be a fun, exciting team to watch. That's what this team has been built on the last 7, 8, 10 years was back-and-forth action, run-and-gun. Quinville wants an exciting brand of hockey. It's certainly back right now.
Who's the guy we're not talking about we should be? Who's the guy you're watching that you're like, this is the next one to come?
Well, I like watching Nick Schmaltz and seeing how he's going to develop. He's that guy that could... He could score 30 goals in a season. He can score 80 points in a season, especially if he continues to stay close to Patrick Kane. But he's a guy. And then I want to watch Joki Haru on defense.
I just want to say Joki Haru.
I just want to get one of those sweaters so that I have that name on the
back.
That's
one of those before you say it. You got to like say it in your head quick to make sure you say it right.
There are J's in there. Yeah. Don't even ask me to spell it.
No. Don't look at it. No. Don't think it. Don't spell it in your head.
That won't help.
Just go Joki Haru.
Yeah, Joki Haru. Yeah, I mean, he was another guy, too, that going into the season, defensemen develop later. It's harder to play in this league as a young defenseman than a young forward just because where you are on the ice, you get pucks in dangerous situations. So how's he going to develop and how he's going to be? Man, he's been awesome. Mm-hmm. To be on the first power play at a 19-year-old on this team, out there, he just has the heat. Talk about a guy with some swagger. Yeah. He skates around with some little confidence out there, a little bit of swagger. He's just going to keep getting better, too. He's been an exciting guy to watch, and I think if you asked Quinville if he could tighten up just 10% in the defensive zone, man, he's another guy. Sky's the limit. He's going to be a fun player to watch.
And that's where they need the help right now. I mean, that's obviously and the defenseman. There's only so much a goalie can do.
Yep.
Right. And you saw. I mean, the first goal on Crawford when he came back that first night.
Yep.
You know, it was like there was. Yeah, I mean, he was totally left wide open there. Right. Yep. So you got to be able to find a way. And I know And Q is the kind of guy that he just scares me to even imagine. When I close my eyes and I imagine him, I get scared.
Yeah.
I see the twitch of the mustache, and I immediately think someone's going to get hurt. And I cannot imagine what it would be like to be a 19-year-old kid
facing
skating that. Back to the bench after you just let a guy do what he just did.
You don't look at him then.
Yeah. Right. And then, do you sometimes want to go to the other bench or take a penalty and go, I'll go in the penalty box now? Don't worry, I can't actually go back.
You go back and you sit down and turn your back so you don't have to look at him.
I don't see you. Corey Crawford addressed that a little bit. A lot of people thought it might be even longer before he came back, and now we're seeing him again. We're happy he's in that. What are you seeing there? What are your observations?
I think the guys that were around him right around training camp, he wasn't present at training camp, didn't skate the first couple days, but he was getting closer to being on the ice, and just seeing his face and seeing his smile and seeing him excited to get back, and you just got a sense he was close. He was going to come back this season, and they didn't get it out. He didn't talk about it much. He didn't want to make any promises he didn't think he could deliver on, but I had that sense, and guys close to the team and close to him had that sense that he's coming back. You can just tell by the look in his face, the interviews that he gave, is he's hungry again. He wants to come back, and I can tell you as a player, when you've got a guy like him behind you, it adds some confidence. I mean, look what the team did last year with him in the lineup, and then all of a sudden, halfway through, he goes out, and the season kind of went to crap, and That's a big difference in this team. And now you talk about the defense that needs some help there. Well, the way the league is now, you're not going to have shutouts anymore. You're not getting many 1-0, 2-1. You got to score three goals to win every night.
But that helps the offense, too, when you got a great tender. Because
you can take chances.
You can take chances. You can take chances on wacky passes. Yep. And you figure this guy's going to handle it. If one guy gets back there with him,
right,
it's going to be okay. I just kind of it's just fun to be in the building, mm-hmm, this year in a way. I mean, there was always hope. There, yep, was hope in 16. There was hope in 17. But by the middle of 17, you started to get the sense that this was not going to be good. And then and we have something really amazing to look forward to on New Year's Day.
Yep.
You know, that's,
oh, yeah,
that's right. And when the thing is that when the nation starts talking about the Hawks again, it changes the dynamic.
Yep.
Right? People are, because it's been too long. People have been talking about the, you know, Penguins, or they've been, you know, it's Nashville.
Yep.
I mean, and there's no question that Nashville's rise and Chicago's demise in the last two seasons is related,
yep,
right? Because they're,
yep,
you know,
same division,
same, right? So, but this is really going to be a very, very fun, very competitive year, and the division is out of its mind.
Yep, it's crazy.
Someone's going to have to lose a game.
They're intimidating again, the Blackhawks. When teams come in here now, it's like, holy man, we better buckle up because they're running and gunning. They're,
yeah,
fast again. They're playing fast. They got young studs zipping around out there. So this is the 2013-15 teams again, where it's up and down action. I mean, I get excited coming to the rink again now. I get,
yeah,
excited watching this team, and I think fans do too. Like, you nailed it. The energy in the building's different this year than it was last year, and rightfully so.
No question.
And you nailed it in saying that the game has changed so much in the last couple of years. You know, the big lumbering guys are just going to lay it.
Yep.
It's like you and I. Yes.
Yep.
No longer a part of that.
Do you like that style, Adam? Do you like where the NHL's at and where the game of hockey is trending?
I think it's as good as it's been. Yeah, I mean, I love seeing fights out there and stuff like that,
right,
but I think at the end of the day, you want to see shootouts. You want to see goals. You want to,
yeah,
see games like that opening game against,
yeah,
Toronto,
right,
back and forth action. You want to see the Stars put on a,
right,
show. And now the game has opened up where now these Stars can put a show on any single night. I think it's a more fun product for sure.
Yeah.
I think fans will enjoy these 6-5 games, these 4-3 games.
Yeah.
I think it's more fun. Gives us something to talk about.
Right. But the characters, though, that's the problem. All those thuggy characters, you know, the big slow skating.
Right. Okay, like, it looks like your bartender.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Get,
right,
out there and kill somebody.
When Ogletorp takes to the ice, you go, oh, no.
Great name.
This is really going to be something here. It's really
it is, you see it in all leagues, though. When they develop the sports and want to move it forward, it's more scoring, more scoring,
yep,
more scoring. You,
yep,
see it in the NFL, in NBA, even in baseball. They want more scoring and home runs and things like that. So.
The only way you change it is if all of a sudden one team comes up with a bunch of goons and they win the Stanley Cup, then,
right,
everybody's going,
right,
to need a bunch of goons,
right,
and thugs.
Copycat league. Yeah,
I don't think that's,
yeah,
happening.
Right.
Goons,
well, you can find them. You can find. I mean, we can. King Kong Korobas still put down the skates.
Yeah.
You get him out there. You like him doing TV? You like him?
I'm having
NBC?
A lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, great.
I have fun. I got a good sitting with Pat Boyle. He makes it easy for me, and I've had a lot of fun with it. Yeah, it's been cool, and it's fun. It's been fun this year having to get to talk about this team. And,
yeah,
but I get to talk about my buddies. That's
you're
pretty
good
easy.
At it. You're really
you
it's
are
very
good.
Fun to watch.
I got you tricked too, huh?
Yeah, for the moment. But I'm a
he's
tough
very critical though, so
yeah,
he'll come out of nowhere, Adam, and he'll
I'll
tell you what
know.
You're doing wrong.
Just
so
one
just
thing
wait.
Goes wrong, I'm ready to pounce. Adam Burrish, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man. You can see him on NBC Sports Chicago, and along with Pat and all the rest of the guys here in the best. I think the best hockey coverage in America is
so good.
From the network level, from NBC Sports down to NBC Sports Chicago, just doesn't get any better than that.
And John Stein-Miller, too, with the Blackhawks and their PR staff.
Yeah, they're
killer.
Yeah, yes, that's it. They are the whole organization, as
sure.
we like to say.
Now you can have
amazing.
The margarita.
All
yeah.
right.
Okay. Get the margarita waiting
yeah,
for you over there, Adam.
Let's make sure that he doesn't have to work. Yeah, even if he does have to work. Violetta has to work, and she's drunk off her ass.
Didn't mind her.
All right.
Guess what? Coach Fitz joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning at 7:10. He'll discuss the Badgers coming to Ryan Field this Saturday. Go Cats!
That's a huge game, by the way.
Yeah, it will be. A lot of local alumni.
The Big Ten West
is right.
up for grabs. And so is the East now, as it turns out. Coming up, your chance to win Blackhawks tickets against the Oilers on Sunday, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons, find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. And listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. And coming up in this upcoming hour, this hour which is going to be our hour that we are going to spend together.
All together?
No.
Oh.
This is like where I want to call her a taxi and, you know, make sure she gets home okay.
It's more of a sugar rush.
Okay. There's a lot of sugar in that ice cream that was mixed with the vodka.
Ice cream vodka drink.
It's one of the Queenie's specials. They have their ice cream alcoholic beverages.
Yes.
Not for children.
Do I have again another break coming up right here? I got to get to. All right, let's do that. Our live broadcast for the Blackhawks take on the New Yorks. Actually, there's three New York. You know, when you say New York,
which one is it?
I'm not quite sure what you're talking about. The Rangers, the original New York. The two and a half New Yorks. Yeah, two New Yorks and a New Jersey. But the Islanders, surprisingly, were kind of a good franchise for an organization for a while. But the Rangers, now that's old school right there, my friend.
Original six hockey.
One of the great jerseys in all sports, I think the Rangers have.
I just walked into their locker room after the morning skate today just to look at the jerseys.
Did they think that was sort of weird at all when you showed up?
No.
I just want to see the jerseys.
Yeah, just saw them in person then bailed. So,
okay.
All right.
Not bad, Chris.
I was looking to talk to Henrik Lundqvist, and he didn't show up this morning, so.
Right, so that didn't work out for you. This broadcast brought to you by Gen Power, your single source for renting portable power generators. Visit genpowerrents.com. And don't forget, stay close, because I got tickets to the Sunday night game against the Oilers, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. Listen for your chance to win tickets coming up this hour and all season long. Thanks to Four Seasons.
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
And we have a guy with a Rangers jersey, although it's the white one they're wearing tonight, not the classic blue one, but he's turned around right now, even though he's holding up a Chicago
authentic fan Blackhawks placard. What is going on over there?
Reading it, but oh well. And that's not Henrik Lundqvist.
We'll let him
either.
Stay in.
That guy looks a little small for being Henrik Lundqvist, although he might actually be 10 years old, so that might explain it.
Doesn't appear in fashion magazines either, so, you know.
Now, it does, I will say that it no matter what, I mean, there's such a... an informed hatred amongst these original six teams, you know, that and competitiveness. And it's, I think there's hockey traditionalists, because these kids who are all playing today, they grew up in the culture. They grew up in this notion of you know, the travel hockey and all the things that they had to learn. And they were, you know, living in the basements in some house in southern Ontario for 2 years of their lives.
Right.
And, you know, with all of the original six, you know, knowing about, the, you know, Toronto and their incredible, struggles of late, but their incredible, you know, tradition, and Montreal and the Bruins and the Rangers and the Hawks. I mean, it's just, it's such a great, great, great thing.
And when you look back on the origin of all that, imagine facing a team 15 or 16 times a season, like 12, 15 times a season.
Right, the way they used to do
that. That's where the seed of hatred gets
the animosity
right
builds,
there.
Right?
And plus, they're taking trains instead of planes. They're all cranky and everything like that. I hate you. I'll bite you and beat you up, and then I'll see you again tomorrow night.
Right, which was exactly what they would do. And that was a style of hockey where they were tackling each other on the ice. And it was it is just a fun thing. Notice I left one of the teams out because I can't stand Detroit. If I can hate anything other than, we discussed this earlier, about the tone of America.
We should
America
not hate
right
anyone
now
anymore. Don't, in America.
But I do hate the Green Bay Packers, and I do hate the Detroit Red Wings.
I guess you can deal with that a little bit more since they're only facing them twice a year.
Right.
Although in the exhibition season, you get pretty riled up too, don't you?
But Bodie, let me just tell you something. It's very important to me because I can give you a hockey nickname. This is such an that is a loss to me. That is a total loss as a lifelong Hawks fan and coming to this and the Old Barn so many times to go see the Red Wings take on the Hawks or at the Joe or wherever you're going to go see it, because it's that. That to me was the great, other than the Bears Packers, the great Chicago rivalry.
I was a little concerned when you stopped by the booth. What was it, Sunday night?
Mm-hmm.
And you started chanting "Detroit sucks," even though they were playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then there was reason to hate the Lightning there in the second period.
I know.
Fox too.
I know. So, I know. I got my own thoughts on that. Yeah.
We were trying to get you to take over the play-by-play mic from John and give us a butterfly save or two, but
that's
he refused.
He didn't do it?
No.
I'm surprised, Ro. You wouldn't step up for an opportunity like that.
You know what is amazing? Kevin and I were, it was last Thursday, and we could go tonight.
Okay.
We were here, and we're walking around. We went, and I just love being in the building. You know, just the energy of the building when the Hawks are good. There's no other stadium in America like it in any sport.
It's the best.
Oh, it's amazing. And to go up, I had never been in the broadcast booth while it was actually operating here.
Wow.
And so for me, it was just to watch those guys, listening to them, I have in my mind's eye what it looks like and feels like up there. But then to watch them work and to know how hard John Weideman has to work to try to get to paint that picture. All these guys, you know, the best sports announcers, play-by-play sports announcers have to be in hockey because it's impossible to explain.
Just to spot who's got the puck now.
Just
to
figure that out.
So quickly, who's got it next? I mean, it is truly an art, and John's, no one's better than John. John's among the best at, you know, and having to do it on radio is an extra chore, too, because you're painting that picture, and you have to get the names all right.
You can stop on television.
Right.
You can let some dead air in.
Right.
But you can't do that in radio ever, and then in hockey for sure. And to
even
watch
though Troy tries.
Well, what does he have to say? Let's be honest. I love you, Troy.
We love Troy.
The reality is watching them work, and they're so, and I can't get how they can. It's just not about the puck. You can't read the numbers or the names on the back of the jerseys.
It's like whooshing you by you. And you know, Adam Burrish was just on last hour, and he was saying,
"Thanks a lot for having me follow Burrish."
Yeah, really, he's great.
He was really good.
He's so good. But you
really find my maroon jacket tonight.
I mean, that guy, like, he dresses. He is seriously a sharp dresser.
I hate hockey players. But wait, I don't hate them.
No, we love them.
I'm just jealous of them.
Detroit.
But he's talking about the games getting so much faster. Anyway, and even Jonathan Toews trained differently to sort of change who he was as a player. Right. You know, it's hard to broadcast that, but it's a different way to play.
Yeah, and I mean, from John's standpoint, he's got to know which players usually play, which other guys, you know, have that down in his memory bank too, because if he's unsure and if he needs to throw a dart, take a guess at it or something like that, and he gets it right all the time.
But the
game is incredible, and it's funny how the Blackhawks set the tone. They were the tone setters in 2010 and then 2013, but then the game starts getting even faster than they were. People
seriously
responding to the way that they played, and you've got all these kids who are just lights out.
You know, the Russians came into the game in the 1990s in earnest, right? You know, there's guys from the KHL. And
every one of them signed with Detroit. Another reason.
Another reason why the chant still remains.
A few of them are on the Rangers, as I recall, too.
Right.
But they, you know, these guys came here, and it was a different style of hockey. I love Olympic hockey. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, watching hockey in the Olympics is a spectacular joy when you get to see guys, because it was a different style of hockey, and that's why the Americans, that's kind of why, you know, the team from nowhere, right, in 1980 was a fast team, not a bruising American style hockey team.
Yeah, and inexperienced.
That's how it changed everything, I think, in American hockey. And so the Europeans coming into the league was great for American hockey, because it made it even though the rink is the same size it always was in American hockey, the skill level, the speed, the hand eye stuff that goes on, because it used to be, I mean, it was fun, it was great, don't get me wrong, but you know, guys just lumbering down, checking another guy, and then you'd have a couple great, almost always Canadian guys that, you know, that were fast and great, like Bobby Hall or Makita, or guys like that. I mean, Makita's a perfect example of it. Right now, these level of skill, athleticism, it is just how fast it is. And when people watch this on TV, they don't get a sense how the rink is the only thing that looks smaller on TV than it does in person. Like in go to football and you're like, my God, this field is small, or baseball is small, and hockey's the opposite, and it's amazing.
It's incredible how quickly these guys have to think on their feet, know where their teammates are at a split second when a guy's barreling down on them. Be committed to the system that they're in, so each of them are in the right places at the right time. And, the way the speed of this game has picked up, even since the Hawks first won it in 2010, is just off the charts. It's unbelievable.
Really fun. Yeah. And I can't imagine what a goaltender. I don't know why anybody wants to be a goaltender. I don't know how anybody can be a goaltender.
And that's what makes what Corey Crawford's done here. He stopped 61 of 63 shots the last two games after being off for 10 months.
Right. I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. And one of the last two games, right, it was 964 or something, whatever that number is.
Yeah.
964 out of 1,000 at anything is okay. Yeah. I would like 964 out of 1,000 numbers in the Powerball. I'd be just fine.
Yeah. I mean, it truly is hard work, of course, trying to get back. But it's also kind of miraculous for what the places he was in just, you know, a handful of months ago to where he is once again today. Hopefully it stays that
this,
way.
Yeah, this hope so. Hopefully helps him in the recovery, too. You know, when you find people who go through the kinds of things that he has had, to long lingering injuries, that, and you know, especially in a concussion thing where, you know, you don't know exactly what's going on in somebody's head or what their perception is, literally their visual perception is right. anymore, things like that. And the frustration and the fear that that must have, and then being out there and having it work again has got to be totally liberating.
God, it feels good. Feel good.
Yeah, and it's not only that, it's bright lights, the noise in the building, the white light of the ice.
Right.
I mean, guys flying in front of you. The only recent superstars that had gone through this recently is Sidney Crosby, and his went over a matter of two different seasons that it kind of carried over. He's got his game back for the last several, and hopefully that's the way with Cora here.
Speaking of goaltenders, can we mention that you tweeted about it earlier, too, Scott Foster, the accountant by day, right. the emergency goaltender. Such an amazing story. Yeah. When it happened before, and now he's going to be back kind of as in the building occasionally.
Yeah, he's back for...
we got to have him on.
We totally need him on.
Optional morning skates, which means even the goalies have the option for a home game, whether they want to partake in the morning skates or just take the morning off. But and even if both goalies are there, one might want to get off the ice quicker while the players still want to be shooting at either end of the ice. So they decide to bring him on to be kind of an extra guy in case one of the regular goaltenders either takes the morning off or wants to leave early.
All right. We're putting him on. I want him to
come on
full pads, though. Yeah. I want him up in here.
Give him some accounting work to do, too, though, while you're here.
Seriously. I mean, it's tax time soon.
Right.
Or whatever. We got to have him a couple months from now.
We should have him come to Judy's birthday party next week, and he can work out the tip on the bill.
Sure.
All right, now, who had the prime rib?
Are we going 20, 25% here?
15?
Are you kidding?
All right. Multi-talented individual.
Chris Bowden, you can hear him on the Blackhawks pregame coming your way in about 40 minutes right here on 720 WGN.
We'll be listening, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Hawks taking on the Rangers in just about an hour right here on 720 WGN. Brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO.
I just met since it's Oktoberfest night here at the United Center, I just met the dancers that you were talking to, Violetta, the Volstad Tanzers out of Rockford. They're performing here in the atrium as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Volstad Tanzers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they're dressed up. They're ready to go. They were warming up with me earlier, doing a couple twirls.
I saw that.
We're doing polka.
Yeah. Do you know polka?
I know Serbian folk, so yeah.
It's kind of similar.
So I know you grew up, you were saying this earlier, that you wore a lamb hat and you...
No, the boys wore lamb hats that are cones, and then the girls wore like potato sack type dresses mm-hmm. with the apron, mm-hmm. White blouses that are poofed up with little bows on your arms, because why not?
Right, because you're ready for Frankenstein to throw you in the well. What is the... explain...
So
Like, what's the difference between that and polka?
Polka is definitely like a couples dance, whereas Serbian dance is more like a Greek style where it's like
a circle
mm-hmm. and a group event.
Do you have a guy on the end with a handkerchief?
Yes, mm-hmm. guy at the end with a handkerchief. And actually, I was doing one of the most impressive lifts in Serbian dance within the Serbian community at the churches. They're called zabavas. Those are the Saturday night parties that you have in the basements of the churches. And they would lift me up like almost Dirty Dancing style.
In the church.
Yeah, in the basement. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing we
right
did.
Right before Bordeaux performed.
That was with
at the christening.
That was the basement of your church.
Check out this church.
Boris DJing in the corner.
It was a showstopper, okay? Everybody was very excited about the lift in Leskovac.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I you know what?
Did everyone want to perform the lift?
No, everyone wanted to sit in a certain seat. I think I figured this whole thing out now. Yeah, I think
it's
I got
all making sense now, bro. You thought
I don't think it is actually making sense, but I see what she's saying to us right now.
Okay.
Start dancing in a circle.
Why not?
And as I'm waving my towel, and I'm just, and then I twist my ankle right around here. This is the part where I feel the thing double fold over. That's kind of a feeling, right?
Can't over celebrate, Ro. It's something you learn in life. But it's pretty cool to see all the Blackhawks fans here, the excitement and energy. I just love this time right before the game begins.
There's no better place. I love Soldier Field. I love being at Soldier Field for a Bears game.
About that.
I love Wrigley, and a Guaranteed Rate has turned into a great experience. But there is not, and this building for Bulls games is fun, and concerts is great.
Yep.
But there's no feeling. The concourse is never
as energy
as packed, and there is not as much red. Right? This is a sea of red, even on a game where you got a team, an original six team in that, not just travels well, but they're a huge New York Rangers fan base here because there's so many New Yorkers here.
Yep.
That it is amazing how Chicago Hawks fans represent. And it's funny, when we're here and we're working from Goose Island, we see the same people, right? This is families and legacies and. You know, there's such a great tradition, and this is not an inexpensive endeavor.
But it's so cool to see the generations too coming together. You know, you see like grandpa, father, kid. You know, everybody gets it's such a great family experience here.
And everyone kind of looks like a tough guy with their jerseys on, like they're ready to play. Like I think they got pads under there, some of them.
This is not for the faint of heart.
Nope.
This is a truly pugilistic fan base here. They used to just fight with each other in the, in the 400 level at the old building, but now there's a 300 level and it's too fancy for them.
It is kind of fancy.
You can't fight unless you're on four. That's the way we used to look at it.
Oh, the fighting's up there. Oh. Okay.
Oh, my God. It was as a kid, you know, as a little kid up in those seats.
And then saw some stuff.
Two drunks going after each other, you know.
You show up to school and you guys are not going to believe what I saw yesterday at the Hawks game.
Not
some
on the ice.
Some guy said he was going to rip another guy's head off. Then he threw a beer at him. Put a cigarette out in his face.
Hamlet blanked your sister.
I thought Detroit sucks was the worst thing you hear at a Blackhawks game.
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's the way it...
It is anymore.
I don't think it's that way. For the stories I've heard from people like Roe and
don't shake my hand. I'm gonna smell like your sister. Yeah, it's like
what? Wow.
Please don't speak like that in front of Eddie Brill.
I don't know why sisters worked their way into this so much, but everybody's sister.
Everyone's got one.
Eddie Brill just stepped up to our Eddie Brill, who one of the great comedians in American history, is sitting with us right now.
Yay.
Here because you're
huge hockey fan. My favorite sport.
And a gigantic Rangers fan, so go blank yourself. But
yes.
I will say this, that you can see Eddie at Zany's. He's there. He's in residence, essentially, starting last night through Sunday night. So you're going to have a show tonight, right?
A show tonight. I'm just coming for the first or second period just to see my upstart young kids lose to the fantastic Jonathan Taves and friends.
Okay, good. So you're not telling jokes yet. I like
not
this.
Yet. But here we go. No, I walk in, you're talking about Sisters. I just saw Sisters Brothers. That was a pretty good film.
Sisters Brothers, which is about two brothers whose actually last name was Sisters.
Sisters, right.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So it's a real story.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I thought you were talking about, and then it was a little
we're
creepy.
No, we're talking about Hawks fans.
No.
Oh.
Well, I mean, so you've been going to hockey games in Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
And Madison Square Garden, were there fights up in the 300 level there?
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, the Islanders and Rangers were real arch rivals.
Yeah.
And there'd be 56-year-old men duking it out in front and behind. It's like, and now I'm that age.
Did you go up to NASA to see Islanders?
Occasionally, yeah. I went because they were good.
Yeah.
The Rangers were hardly ever good. So I went to see the Islanders play, and I actually caught a puck during and it hurt.
With your teeth.
And see these are all caps. And I gave it to the kid next to me like an idiot. It hurt my hand. He held it up. The crowd cheered. But it was off of Butch Goring and the Islanders.
They were
playing Vancouver in the Stanley Cup Finals. It was fun. It was good to go.
How about that?
They're super cold.
Yes.
When they come off the ice, the thing that's amazing about it, you never really think about it, they're frozen.
Frozen.
They're actually frozen. And and that's why being a hockey goalie is the second craziest thing you can do in sports.
Right. And what's the first?
Lacrosse goalie.
Because
that thing is like, it's like a metal ball coming at you.
With knives coming out the side.
And you're not prepared for whatever's going to happen to you. Let me do this right now. Let me give away these tickets. Caller number 19 right now, 312-981-7200, rips us off. A pair of tickets to see the Hawks take on the Oilers on Sunday night.
Nice.
And is that a 6 o'clock start? I think it is. If you don't want to stay for the whole game, go see Eddie Brill at Zany's.
Now it'll be 8 o'clock show.
I believe. Yeah.
Curtis, it's what time?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, you can go to the show.
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. Listen for your chance to win tickets all season long.
Yay.
So you're predicting a Blackhawks victory, but what's your official scouting report on these Rangers? What can Hawks fans expect to see?
Young defensemen who are really going to be great. They're going to be great. And also we have two defensemen that are coming up that are going to be great. And there's one guy, Howden, is number 21. I forgot how to pronounce his name. But he's a young kid, centerman, who's just amazing. So the Rangers have a good future, and they're going to get rid of all their veterans.
In February.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
the deadline.
What
they'll do. Right.
Like they did last year. But they have a really good general manager now. It's about time. And because we've sucked most of my life, except for 94.
Oh, but you know
you stick with your team. Look, you're Cubs fans. You
yes.
know what it's like. You stay with your team, and eventually you either die or they win.
We know that.
I got to say, it's the one thing about New Yorkers. New Yorkers are very, you know, can be very passionate about sports, and they can be very, bifurcated because, yeah. you know, there's two teams, right? A team for everything. But you find people who are Giants, Yankees, and Rangers fans, and Knicks fans generally.
Yeah.
It's a diehard, like, to the bloodstream thing
yeah.
for them.
And you can't be both, right? You got to be one.
Some people are like that. I'm a Mets fan. They won the World Series on my birthday. This is the 32nd anniversary of when the Mets beat the Red Sox in Game 6 today. But they won on my birthday. So, you know, I'm a little kid. The Jets won the Super Bowl that year. The Knicks won the championship. And I was at the game with my dad, Game 7. So
why
those are my team.
Why do you have to bring that year up to in front of Cubs fans? Why would you do that?
But it's not Cubs that really should worry. It's Baltimore because the Jets beat the Colts. The Knicks beat the Bullets with Wes Unseld on their way to beating L.A. And the Mets beat the Orioles. So it was more Baltimore people are angry.
I'm still
angrier.
Angry.
I understand. I'm trying to get out of it. Yes. You know, Brothers Sisters, great movie. With,
but it is, it's funny. The most interesting thing about hockey fans is when, except for Philadelphia, I take Philadelphia out of what I'm about to say here.
Yeah. Okay.
You can travel and go to other buildings all over the NHL, mm-hmm. especially in Canada.
Right.
And you can wear whatever you want to wear, you know, whatever you can represent your team. You mm-hmm. walk through, and like you know, Rangers fans tonight. It's going to be it's going to be fun.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
I see some blue out there.
Yeah,
a little bit.
And it's going to be.
But that's their sadness.
Yes.
Preparing themselves to be beat tonight.
That was very good.
Yeah.
The issue here is always people are really cool. You go to Philadelphia, and they literally want to rip your head off.
I know.
You go into
for
the,
every
they
sport
will rip
there,
your head
yeah.
off,
right?
There's
every
a jail
sport.
Inside the football
is
stadium.
Is it just for the sports, though? Is it
it's just
in general?
It's in general. I think Philly people have a little edge to them at all
they
times.
They booed Santa Claus, for
yeah, they booed Santa Claus.
They booed Santa?
Ridiculous.
They threw batteries onto a hockey rink. Different crew out there.
Yeah, they were
they destroyed their own town after they won the Super Bowl.
Yes, exactly. What kind of thing? You're supposed to go to another town and do
right. Go to New York or something. What are you doing?
Right, New Jersey's right across the river.
Right there. Oh,
what
just are
they that.
Camden.
Newark.
Just knock
Perfect.
Down Camden, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's the one town that's tougher that no one talks about.
Yeah.
You go into Canada. Oh, no, we're
no,
not going
no,
to go.
No,
no, no.
You know.
No, they got bad water there. Yeah, can't go there.
But the Rangers do have a great organization, and they are. If you're a Canadian organization.
Yes. Right.
And they really take care of their team and their players. And I was part of the Hockey in Harlem program that they did for many years. And they're incredible to the community. So I do like, of all the New York sports teams, I always like the Rangers because the organization is really, really great.
Yeah.
They're taking care
so
of
you
people.
Played the sport? You played
I played on roller skates, you know, and
a little
no
street
pads.
Hockey?
Yeah, street hockey.
Nice.
Yeah, it was all right. Then I moved to Florida and there was no ice down there.
Do that
and even in my drinks.
Do you know what is so funny is that, you know, the NHL's now moved to Florida. I have two teams in Florida
right.
where,
Which
you know,
makes
decades
sense.
Ago they had none, right? And they and the Tampa, well, the idea was that there's a bunch of Canadians in Tampa. That
right.
was the idea.
Yeah.
What they found out was there's not that many Canadians in Miami, right? It's the Canadians that... The people in Miami are from Mexico. They should have a soccer team. They should move a Mexican soccer team to Miami.
Los Miami,
right?
You know,
or some Caribbean or something.
Yeah, right.
You know, but so they've had a little trouble filling up on the east side.
Well, Hollywood, Florida, where I went to junior high school and high school, was mostly Canadian. And
you tell
was,
about the tipping, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You could tell right away. And shuffleboard. They would tip over the shuffleboard courts. It didn't make any sense. Or now. But they would, it was all these Canadians who moved down to Florida, and they would, be crazy for. So they thought it would really be great, but these guys were like, nah, we're happy at the beach.
Yeah. And, these are the Canadians who left Canada because they hate hockey.
Right.
Is what happened.
Yes.
Yeah. But Tampa's doing well, and Tampa's a great organization. Great.
Yes, it's tough to go into a cold hockey rink when you have warmth and sun and a
Isn't
beach
it?
Right outside.
Yeah. It doesn't match up.
Kind of understand where we're at.
Sorry.
But it is.
Sorry. We don't like hockey down here.
And Arizona, that never made a ton of sense.
No.
But you know, but you stop and you think about this. To me, it's just such a great thing. This gives me such pleasure to see the Rangers and the Hawks play. We only get to see them once
twice
a year.
This year is two times, so yeah. I'll see the one, and I think it's in November.
But it's twice. It's
only once in
once
Chicago.
Once in each stadium.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So you have to go to New York to go see it. And Madison Square Garden is a great place to see any kind of a game, right? It's just the walls of that place just reverberate.
It's amazing.
History.
But the national anthem here, there's nothing like it. Jeff Garland was my roommate for many years, and he said to me, says, you got to go to Chicago and hear the national anthem, Wayne Mesmer. So now, the backstory is Jeff owed me some money for rent, and I was like, where's the rent? And he says, I'll get it to you. So I go to the game, and I'm working, there's the days I work in Catch a Rising Star at the Hyatt Hotel, and I had an ad with my face on, and I brought it to the cop, and I said, look, I can't be at the game. Can you just let me in to hear Wayne Mesmer sing? He goes, how am I going to tell? I go, look at this ad. I have to be on stage according to here's my picture, here's me. In the end. So he goes, okay, he lets me in. National anthem blows me away. Wayne Mesmer's otherworldly.
Yeah.
So now I'm on my way out, and this is how old this is, 1990. I see a payphone, and I'm going to call Jeff and thank him for telling me about it. So I call Jeff. I go, hey, Jeff, it's Eddie. He goes, I'll get you the money. Click.
Oh.
It was like, oh, Jeff, but I was going to tell you thank you. And yeah,
Wayne, as you know, I mean, Wayne was the voice. Wayne became internationally famous for the NHL All-Star Game that was here at the old stadium that year.
Right.
And he sang the national anthem. And it was, you know, right after the invasion. I mean, the war was over in 15 minutes, right?
Right.
So, and it was just one of those moments that was so iconic from that era. I mean, if you watch that 90s series.
I got chills because I remember that.
It was a big, 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 big deal. And then Wayne, you know, in Chicago got shot in the throat.
Yes.
And wow. And the fine folks at Northwestern were amazing how they patched him back up and he's, you know, he's still singing now. Of course, is the great Jim Corneliuson.
I've heard him, who's amazing.
Oh, he's spectacular. He'll stir your soul.
He has replaced Jim Nabors at the Indianapolis 500.
No, that's great. Does he sing? Does he talk with a high voice and then does a deep thing?
No, he doesn't do that. No, he's Captain Serious, that dude.
You ever meet a reverse Jim Nabors? We were at one of our best friends' funeral, the father's funeral. And the guy was like, you know, he talked like with a very deep voice. And then, you know, we're missing Jack Warren and we're very sad. And here's a song. He's like this high voice. And we were, you know, drunk from the night before. And we couldn't not laugh in church. It was the worst.
Oh, that's
day ever. Reverse Jim Nabors is the worst because you're expecting the deepness. But
getting the other side.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying there, Eddie. Eddie Brell.
We'll be right
tonight,
back.
Tonight.
Never.
Tonight. You can see him tonight at 8 o'clock. The show starts at 8 o'clock.
No, it starts at 9 tonight. That's why I'm here.
Starts at 9 o'clock tonight.
But the rest
Zanies.
Of the weekend.
And tomorrow night, a couple shows. And just check the Zanies website. But there's a downtown Zanies on Wells Street. So tomorrow night, a couple shows. Saturday night, a couple shows. And then a big show on Sunday night as well. And then go see him tonight at 9 o'clock so that everybody can enjoy themselves. And and I'm going to get Eddie drunk before
let's do that.
Stage.
So anyway,
give him one of those milkshakes.
All right. Getting ready for Chicago Blackhawks hockey. We are live at the United Center. They're taking on the Rangers tonight. It's all brought to you by Gen Power, your single source for renting portable power generators. Visit genpowerrents.com.
Yes.
All right. I'm very excited about this.
I know.
So much fun to see these two teams together, and so much fun. We just cannot say enough about how enthusiastic Hawks fans are again.
Well, and optimistic about this season, you know, after a couple of disappointments, but a lot of years of really fun times. This is, there's a lot of hope again that this is going to be a playoff team.
Yes.
Yeah, and everything changed this year when Corey Crawford came back, and when that became a realistic possibility that Crawford could return this year. I think that got the buzz going a little bit, and then, of course, when he actually plays and plays well over the past few games, it's a whole different ballgame.
Hold up. It's not a ball game.
I mixed them up. Football season, hockey.
It's a frozen puck game, as we talked about just moments ago. You don't want that to hit you.
That sounds like a good dessert, the frozen puck.
You've had enough dessert today.
You
all right,
have.
Hold on, everybody. We got to get to Blackhawks hockey coming your way in 2 minutes.